Free FM, 106.7 WJFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Yes.
Me.
Hey, Oprah, what's coming up on the show today?
Coming up, sex, sluts, and ecstasy.
Thank you. What was that, Oprah?
Sex, sluts, and ecstasy?
Oh, now I got you.
Two men side by side for 20 years.
20 years.
Coming up, sex, sluts, and ecstasy.
Trust devotion makes me choke back tears.
The makings of a great party.
But listen, there ain't nothing broke back tears.
Sex, sluts, and ecstasy?
Thought that I should make 20 years. Very clear. It's a party without a beer.
You know what I think of this song?
What do you think?
I'm in home, Don and Mike.
Did I say right?
No matter if
almost worth hearing again.
My heart's at home.
You know, the thing is about this. Oh, turn that thing off. Yeah. About that song.
Right.
That song
was followed by Soviet Union member, Russia.
A lot of people cannot get it out of their heads.
Exactly.
I'll give the guy credit. It's
infectious.
A memorable jingle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Highlight five in core meets Don and Mike.
I mean, it sucks.
Sex, sluts, and ecstasy?
It's catchy, but then so is herpes.
Lovely.
So just, you decide yourself.
Fair enough.
If 12 pills a day is a hassle for you. And hello and welcome to the show, everybody. Give me just a moment to get this thing that I just did with the CBS station out of my system.
Okay.
And it'll be cool to move on with the show. We got a big one today. We got the half a fat guy from The Sopranos going to be on.
Vito's coming on the show.
Oh, that's right. Joey,
he's selling sauce.
Joey Ganzacalli. But he's also going to be telling us all about what it's like to be gay on Sopranos.
Pretty amazing character.
Can't wait.
Yeah, him now. And Owen Barker. When has old man Barker decided to reschedule, Rob?
If he makes it, it'll be tomorrow.
Manana!
I don't mean he'll cancel. I just mean if he physically makes
it. Tomorrow, Barker.
Coming up, sex, sluts, and ecstasy.
Yeah,
right.
Thanks,
you,
Oprah.
So we got a guest today. We got a guest tomorrow. We got a big show today. We sent Joe out to the Nationals opener.
Oh, good.
I think I'm just a horrible human being in some ways.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just socially, I'm socially retarded.
What do you mean?
And I'll tell you about it. And there's the language barrier with my gypsies. You know, that's something I have to tell you about.
He's mentally retarded.
I'm mentally retarded.
Socially retarded.
And socially retarded. But the first thing is, I want to say thank you to one of the few TV journalists that I actually respect. A guy's name is Derek McGinty, and he works at WUSA, the CBS station here in D.C.
Right.
And here's the thing. You know, Mike and I have been working together now as America's most beloved DJ team for over 20 years.
Right. Yep.
Seriously. We can't get arrested. And about 10 years ago I was. We can't get arrested and get on TV.
There's plenty of TV coverage when that happened, of course.
There was, but
we were all over the place. That was like, you know what, that was better really than getting a publicist.
Yeah, it was.
Well, you wanna make the front pages? You get yourself arrested.
I tell you what, next time, you do it, though.
No, I still have people drive me home.
You do it next time.
If I didn't have people drive me home, believe me, I think I'd get that kind of press.
So, you know, we can't get Dick. And since Frida passed away, they've been coming out of the woodwork. You know what I mean? It's like right away they called all the NBC station, not network, just the local affiliates,
right.
NBC, Fox, ABC, they've all called wanted to know, you know, want to find out how it's going for you.
Uh-huh.
And as I told you, up until this recent vacation, things hadn't really been going as great as I had hoped. It's only been 9 months since Frida passed away.
Right.
And one of the stations that had been calling was the CBS station. And this guy, Derek McGinty, I said it to his face, and I'll say it on the air. The reason I like his news show, which is on at 7, it's real news. And what I mean is it's not that crap where it's like it's the mannequin sitting next to the beauty queen where they're just reading the same crap on the prompters, and then they make happy talk going to break,
right,
and they come back with your 7-day forecast. And I mean, it's a half hour where they actually take time to do some news.
Right.
And I happen to think the guy's a pretty decent journalist.
Well, I mean, you know, unlike a lot of the people that are here, he comes by it pretty honest. I mean, this is a network guy. This is a guy that's done a lot of work on the network level, and he brings that into the local news, which is great.
He's a pro. So they said, Derek McGinty would like to talk to you about Frida. And I said, well, if it's him, that's cool. Here's a guy. I've not seen him do a screw job on anybody on his news show, which is really a news show. So they came in, and they filmed in the office. I wouldn't let him come to the house.
Right.
I said, forget that.
Mm-hmm.
No shots of Mike and I in the studio acting like crazy disc jockeys, honking horns, and you know, doing the whole...
the way you do.
Doing that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, we talked for about an hour. And this is the thing about TV, guys. We talked for an hour. I bet tops 5 minutes makes it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But it was therapeutic for me in a way to get it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud. I didn't cry.
Good.
I didn't lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Almost at one point, but then I made them turn the cameras off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not the image that I want to give out.
Right.
But it was mainly talking a lot about Frida.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I did want to mention about talking to him was something that I don't think I've ever mentioned on the air. He said, what is the one thing that surprised you most after Frida died? I mean, besides the fact that she died and everything else, but like, well, what surprised you? You most in relation to the show, because he said, you know, she was on the show a lot.
Right.
What surprised you? Did the show change? And I said, well, the show did change kind of because I didn't have Frida. But the thing that I was most amazed about was the fact that I knew everybody loved listening to Frida on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was selfish to have her on the show because it was a way of showing another side of my life,
mm-hmm.
a way of everybody listening in some way, maybe relating to the fact that I was as miserably married as the rest of you poor bastards are.
Mm-hmm.
And she was always on the show, either in a context to argue with me or dispute what I was saying, or on occasion talk about something nice that we did together. But generally, what I remember about Frida being on the show, and she had a much thicker skin than I'll ever have, was when we would get the calls from the douchebags, and we just go, man, like, you are so pussy-whipped. Why do you have your wife on the show all the time?
There was that segment that would always say that.
All the time. And I would go home to her, and she would listen to it, and she wouldn't bother her one iota. So I said to this guy, Derek McGinty, I said, really what surprised me most was the outpouring of emotion that was received for Frida, and about 50-50 male to female. I said, there are still boxes of letters. I know Frida would be very mad that I've not opened them up, that they arrived, but I just can't deal with it, that people from around the country sent in, you know, in memory of Frida. A lot of them very nice letters saying that, you know, how much they enjoyed her on the show and how much she meant to them. And I said, that was the most surprising thing to me, was the fact that for years, at least my perception was, I knew I was right by having Frida on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it all along. You know, before I worked with Mike, and it's nothing original. Like I said, if you steal from me, you're stealing twice.
Mm-hmm.
I heard this guy 28 years ago, this guy Steve Dahl in Chicago, who put his wife on the radio. And I thought, brilliant. Brilliant. Finally, somebody, you know, here's a guy who's got his wife on, who says you're a big, fat, stupid load, and you lie all the time and everything else. And so Frida was the perfect wife to do that.
Right.
And because of that, I knew in my mind as a radio guy that it's going to do nothing but garner better ratings for the show, that people will listen every day to hear what happens, that Frida became a known voice. Like it or not, she was a part of my life and she was on the show all the time. But it did upset me because I am so goddamn insecure. When people would call and say something about Frida, I would lose it on the air a lot. I would challenge guys to fight and say, you know, hey, I'm not pussy whipped. I love my wife. She's got a place on the show. So that was the most incredible thing to me, that there was this outpouring from men and women about Frida. And we went through the whole thing. I mean, Christ, he asked me, like, and politely, you know, how did you find out what happened that night?
Mm-hmm.
I told him how it happened, and then I had to go to the hospital. And I told him how I didn't believe it at first when the cops called my house, because I'm so used to our idiot listeners, like, trying to pull jokes on
us. Right, right.
And how, after it happened, that I called Bart. I remember standing in front of the hospital, called Bart first. That's the hardest call ever.
Yeah.
Then the call after that was to Mike to say, you have tell him what happened, and say you have to go do the show tomorrow, no matter what. And I think the main thing that maybe you'll be able to get out of this in some way is the fact that what he asked me over and over again, and I really couldn't give him an answer. He's like, how do you come back to work? And I don't mean like I'm a superstar or I've got anything any better than anybody else. I said,
right.
What choice do you have?
Yeah, how does anybody do
but,
it?
But to go back, I said, you know, I've got the luxury of, and of course I had to work the Packers, and this will never make TV. But I said, you got a guy like Brett Favre, whose dad dies, and then the guy goes out the next day and like throws four, everybody remembers that game
sure.
against Oakland. I said, and I remember thinking to myself after Frieda died, well, I don't have to go out and throw touchdown passes. And Brett Favre didn't go out during this game and say, oh, you know what, I'm sags and my dad's dead. I can't play this game. You hear about athletes doing this all the time. I said to him, what I have is the luxury of it. And I had a lot of bad shows, in my opinion, after Frieda died. A lot of times I'd lose it. I couldn't handle either what some ass on the phone said, or I would get emotional myself.
Mm-hmm.
And more than one occasion, I excused myself. I would leave the room or leave the room. I said, so what I did wasn't heroic in my mind, like what an athlete would do or what somebody important would do. But the answer is just get off your ass and get on with life. I mean, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Sit around? Just sit around? And then the other thing, and he's funny, that he thought he had the real scoop on. He said, so you thought about quitting. So when I said, you know, 2008, Mike and I, he says, can I go with this? Hey, dude, it's no exclusive.
Sure,
you know this is.
It's been out there for a few months.
This is the plan that Mike and I are working on. Anyway, I'm not sure exactly when this is going to run. The thing that I'm sure of is that it will be respectful to Frieda.
That was your biggest thing, I think.
That the tone of it, and that's why I like Derek McGinty.
Derek McGinty's, yeah. I think, track record. I know him a lot from Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, and I've watched a lot of his stuff. He's not, he doesn't do that show anymore now that he's back in D.C. But I think he's got a handle on how to do that kind of stuff. He's got a lot of experience
without
with
sensationalizing it.
Yeah, and that's what I was trying to make most sure of. And then, you know, like, they wanted pictures of Frieda and stuff, and I originally said no. And then I realized when they were in the office, they said, you know, if we run this for a while, I really said to them, well, what's wrong with just showing my face? why do we have to have something other than my face on the screen,
right.
Really? I mean, I know we're talking about Frieda here, but I didn't feel comfortable offering up photos. Well, they ended up taking some of the photos from the desk, and I thought that was okay. I just don't want it to be exploitive, and I just needed to get this out of my system so I could go back to being normal.
And as you said, your insight for people that might be in a similar situation that are, you know, watching TV and don't have a radio show, that, you know, maybe they can benefit from that, too.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're doing a radio show, throwing touchdown passes, or you got to go back and, you know, work in the office the next day. It's a lot of people have to go through this crap.
I mean, what the frig are you going to do? So anyway, I'd just like to thank Derek McGinty. That'll be on TV at some point. I'm not going to make a big deal about promoting it because even though it's something that's going to be on local TV, it's kind of a private thing, and I'm doing it because I know Frieda would want me to do it. She would be happy that I'm talking about her. You know, like he said to me, what's the influence of Frieda on your life? And I said, well, you know, and you're not going to believe this, listening to the radio, but it's true. In some ways, I have more patience with people now. It's like some of Frieda's qualities have almost morphed into me.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when she would say to me, why do you have to have a drink every day? You know, well, I don't. There are some days now I don't have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a drink every day just to spite her.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I would go home and I wouldn't feel like having a drink, but as soon as I go to the liquor thing, she's like, oh, God, every night do you have to have the drink? Well, now, she must be happy somewhere looking down in heaven that I go home and I don't have a drink every night, you know, because she's not there to bust my balls about
it. Right, I get that.
Bust my balls about it. But anyway, I just miss her and wanted to get that out there and want to move on and do the show and try to tell them that I had a bit of an epiphany a couple of weeks ago. And I think what happened was it has been, without being terribly gruesome, or being a downer. It has been exactly 9 months and one day since my sweet Frida passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And 9 months is the time, the last time I checked, that it takes to make a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, it's like I had been moving towards this anyway and feeling better. And I think in some way Frida was leading me towards this.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's been 9 months of much more, for me, much more behind the scenes mourning than you've known about.
Right.
Much more feeling sad every day. A lot of crying at home. A lot of this. Well, that's kind of been lifted a little bit because, like I said to this guy from TV, I said, what? My life is supposed to end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't mean to be cold and disrespectful to Frida. I wouldn't want her life to end if things had gone the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's all about that, and I just had to get it out, because if I didn't, I would be thinking about it all day, and I wouldn't be able to be, you know, goofing loose.
Well,
goof
it sounds to me like you're satisfied with the way it went, and that's a good
goofy thing. And loose. I said loose and goofy, and of course, they're friends of mine.
Right.
loose and goofy.
Loose and goofy. That's the old cartoon show that never quite made it.
No.
Sadly.
So anyway, that'll be on the tube sometime.
Oh, glad that went well.
Yeah, it did. It did. It was nice. And plus, I love the fact that Gillespie, you know, the thing is, the guy can't help himself.
Right.
I heard him, do you know at one point, they had to turn the cameras off because they heard him in the hallway. They heard him in the hallway. Now, most people know that the TV people are in there, and there's very rarely TV people in here. And I know that they're interviewing me. Most people know that it's not like the typical crazy,
Was he hovering?
He was yelling something at Rob.
Mm-hmm.
He was yelling for Rob about something. It was something about, you get those tickets that I use. And all of a sudden I hear, and they have.
He does have the kind of voice that goes through the wall because of that baritone.
Yeah. They had me at a moment. I wasn't crying and I wasn't jumping on the couch like Tom Cruise. But I was saying something, and they're looking at each other, and I'm thinking, like, am I saying the wrong thing? And all of a sudden one goes, cut. Can we just stop? Does anybody else hear that outside?
There he was.
And there
way
he was.
To go, Mr. I have my office on the second floor.
There he was out there. Rob.
Is that about those Molly Hatcher tickets? What are you going to do about that? You guys want to give those away?
Anyway, thanks. Thank you for coming down, Derek. And anyway, la la, blah, blah. So
that's good. I'm glad that went well.
Yeah.
And
went
you know,
as well as it could.
That's good.
And Joe's finally back from RFK.
Hey.
Good.
Hey,
and listen, Washington, D.C., our hometown. We broadcast from WJFK.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it for the sports fans.
Yeah, the people that were clamoring, baseball in D.C.
Give us baseball.
Let's get
today,
baseball in D.C.
Why don't we have baseball?
Today is opening day.
I mean, really. This is it. This is the biggie.
Uh-huh.
They sell this game out in goddamn Pittsburgh every year, and they don't draw jack in Pittsburgh. It's beautiful. It's sunny.
Perfect.
It's 70
degrees.
70 degrees.
Gorgeous.
1 o'clock, first pitch.
76.
Big Dick Cheney out there, ready to throw the first ball, maybe shoot someone who pisses him off.
There you go.
What a show. There are 9,000. Unsold empty seats at the stadium today.
I heard it was 9,000 no-shows. So there actually might be more. There might be 9,000 people that had tickets that didn't show up.
Oh, I heard they well, see, the figure I
And I'm not sure whether there's an even better. I'd like to know what like, the final number is. We were looking at the game.
We had it on TV in the office, and all we saw was empty seats.
Orange seats.
Here now is baseball. Baseball tonight contributor, Joe. Peter Gammons, illegitimate son, Joe Gammons.
I read that it was 9,000 unsold, and I was down
there. Oh, 9,000 unsold, because there was
no show.
There were
plenty of scalpers running around the metro with fistfuls of tickets.
Yeah. So
those are the ones that are sold to the ticket dealers, and those guys are trying to get rid of them for $10. So.
Wow.
Thank you for the insight, Joe, who had to actually get up before noon today to go down to the stadium to do some stuff for us.
Wow.
So let's hear it for the good fans of D.C. I told you, all along, this is a football town.
This has always been a football town.
It's a football town. And we finally have a team, and it's from the right league, in my humble opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's from the National League, the Hustling League.
Well, you couldn't be more wrong about that. But I will tell you that I do sincerely believe that they should have kept the name Senators. It would have changed things. I know maybe not a lot, but, you know, I went to a game last year, and I'm not even a National Leaguer. I'm an American Leaguer. That's a great place to see a ball game. Mm-hmm. RFK is a great place to go down and see a ball game. And, you know, I'm not a fan. You know, God knows, everybody knows my allegiance as far as baseball, but I love baseball, and it pisses me off that, you know, they're getting this kind of turnout on an absolutely spectacular day for baseball.
I think I know the problem. Mm-hmm. I got a call from Joe today, and he said, the Metro's too far from the stadium.
Oh, there you go.
It's like 100 miles.
People would have had to walk.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see him spin that tonight. You know, opening day at RFK. What are you going to do with all those orange seats? All those empty goddamn orange seats.
They don't cover the team right. I don't think so. They don't cover the team like a New York paper would cover the Yankees or a Boston paper would cover the Red Sox. They cover the team as just like a secondary story.
An afterthought.
Well, it is.
They really do.
And look why they do. Look why they do. It's opening day, and Washington, D.C. cannot sell out a goddamn baseball game.
It's ridiculous.
On opening day.
And that, well, you know, you might say there are contributing factors. I know they've got this whole cable TV issue that they're trying to worry about.
You're talking about an opening day, people taking the day off.
Beautiful
and going,
day.
Going to the goddamn stadium.
I'm just trying to find some possible explanation for it.
Here's the explanation. You've lived here your whole life, so have I. Don't listen to what people say. This is the worst sports town in America. If you're not winning, forget it. And the Redskins, the only reason that they have all the power they have is that people are still clinging to those three Super Bowl trophies from 10
years
ago.
You're right. I can't, I'm not going to argue with you when you're making a good point.
And even on that point, the Redskins are starting to drop off a little bit. The more that they suck,
right,
the more people are just not into
but
it.
But they're convinced that, you know, that they're trying every year to at least, they certainly are throwing money at the problem, which is keeping people's interest up. But you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just frustrating.
It's okay. It's okay. I think the people of DC.
And it also, you know, it doesn't help. You know, it's tough to get winners. You know what I mean? The guy from AOL that owned the hockey team, he went out and he tried for a couple of years, and then he gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave up.
Just as a city, we should just embrace ourselves as America's worst sports city. Why not admit it? We got a basketball team here's how they market our basketball team. I know a lot of you people in other cities have teams. Here's how they market ours. Hey, come see the Wizards, because guess what? Shaquille O'Neal plays on Miami, and he's coming to town. Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what? Do you like Allen Iverson?
Yep.
He's playing against the Wizards.
Someone good's coming.
Come see Philadelphia. Yeah. It's never, come see some guy who plays for the Wizards. The only guy I remember for the Wizards is the guy that got his wife for a goat. Manute Bol.
Manute Bol a million years ago.
Back when they were still the right name.
Right.
The Bullet. The Bullet.
Yeah. And why did they change that name?
And why did they change it to the 9 millimeters? Yeah, let's move it into the 21st century.
Go Glock.
The Glocks.
The Glock. Thank you.
Bottom of the eighth, the Mets lead 5-1 on today's home opener for the Nats.
Well, beautiful day to be out there.
Yeah,
too.
It really is.
Great day. From the subway.
All right, we got a break. We'll have coverage of the opening day here and lots of other stuff to get to. Thank you for bearing with me through that stuff at the beginning.
Sure.
And we'll be back in a second to actually start the show.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hold on. Just give me one second here.
What's the matter?
Oh, nothing's the matter. I simply didn't want to go right from the thing saying this is the Don and Mike Show right to the laughing place.
You don't want to dump right into that?
No, well, just give me one second here.
Mm-hmm.
How are you anyway?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Oh, you know. How about you, Buzz?
I'm well, thank you. It's spring.
See, I'm just filling time. I'm trying to figure out which toe-tapping tune we should use to start today's show.
Zeppelin, man. Play something from Zeppelin.
Something powerful.
20 years. Yeah, like, you know, I can't say that one time. Like, you couldn't do that one time in 20 years.
All right, where's Misty Mountain? Misty Mountain. That's a good one. You like that one, don't you?
I like them all.
You like that one?
It's not my number one, but...
Excuse me. How about Stairway to Heaven, Mike?
No, I don't like that one.
Too soft.
I hate Fool in the Rain.
Great intro, though.
Hangman.
I think we're quite limited in our Led Zeppelin.
Oh, are we?
I believe so.
Okay. Shockingly, Mike, we will not be able to play Get the Lead Out tonight.
Aerosmith?
Of course, we have lots of Aerosmith.
I like that, too.
Yes, we do. It's just, it's a,
it doesn't really matter.
It's a bit passe.
It, does,
isn't
it, does, it doesn't matter, but I was indicating when you gave me your dismissive that that you know the fact is, you know,
why.
Really, do I ever ask for music on this show?
Here's why.
In 20 years, have I asked for music?
Always
on this show?
Ask. For hard rock.
I'm a headbanger. I like that stuff.
Here's that stuff. Here's the one that I had selected and I had second thoughts about. See, now, you don't go...
No,
but
your eyes go... Who is
this? See, and you make
is
me
this
sound
the
like,
grassroots?
No, it happens to you. And you make me sound like a faggot if I go... Yeah, I'm a big 10-inch. You know, because all the real men out there with the chains on their jeans and their black T-shirts, they're going to go, hey, you know what? Yeah, and like you, wearing your faggot olive Harley Davidson shirt.
I'm in the Harley mood today. I'm in a headbanging mood.
But a truly Harley man.
Get out on the highway.
You don't wear color. You wear black.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
an olive colored Harley shirt. On.
I wanted a long sleeve T-shirt, and I bought the one that fit. And there was the one thing. You know what you get when you go into the Harley store to buy stuff, which is a great thing, especially if you're big. If you're looking for an XL, sometimes it's hard to find, but a 3XL or a 4XL you can find. Because these guys wear Red Hawks, man.
They sell them big
Red Hawks. But maybe that's it. I'm feeling open road. I'm feeling Harley today.
Spring, yeah.
You know, ride my hog around this morning, you know, just ready for some rock, man. Some rock. How about some rock? For all the rockers out there.
Hog means motorcycle.
Hog does mean motorcycle.
Okay.
Rock us, Donnie.
I'm getting rimmed today, too. I'm getting rimmed.
How much is
it? Really?
Homo.
That's expensive. Very, very expensive.
Nice rim.
No, I'm getting new rims. Very, very exciting.
Oh, God. I don't know. I like Aerosmith fine.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, with the first song of the show.
I wanted Zeppelin, man. But I mean, if you want Aerosmith, that's cool. What do you have? You have a whole anthology
of
Aerosmith.
Would you just find Misty Mountain then?
We don't have it, I don't think.
Yes, we do.
We do have it on one of the discs.
I'm positive we do. It's one of the few Zeppelin songs that I do really dig.
Aerosmith.
Not that I don't dig Zeppelin. I mean,
Zeppelin or Tony Orlando.
I like
any of those.
I like
in that order.
Hey, hey, mom, is that the way you move?
Gonna make it last. Gonna make it
last. But the thing that sets us apart, I think, from the other shows is the fact that we play faggot records that, as much as you don't want to admit it, you do remember.
Right.
That not a lot of other radio shows would play. I mean, any show...
Well, you play anything.
But no offense.
You're a fan of music.
Yes, but any show can come on and play. And God knows we went through the phase where you play something angry at the beginning to show that you have it. Remember we played whatever that Rob Zombie song was that I love so much?
Oh, yeah.
But we played it. I only played it because I said, Rob, got it. That's angry.
Angry rock.
Yeah. Angry.
Angry rock.
This ain't too angry.
You out of here, right?
What do you got there in
what do you out of here, right?
Think.
How about Warrant?
No, not really. It's
how about Warrant?
Ah, we're Warrant!
No.
I'm not a Warrant fan.
How about Misty Mountain? Will you go with that today?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Let me just see what else is on the CD.
Hangman! Hangman!
This is not the best CD I've ever seen.
No?
That is the best CD.
No.
What else is on it?
It's alphabetical. Mm-hmm. So you go from... Misty Mountain.
Do you have any Thin Lizzy?
Yeah, we got The Boys Are Back in Town, of course. Yeah, you don't hear that anywhere, do you, Mike?
Well, I just like it.
Everyone
does. I just like it.
I know you do. Everybody does, but it's another one of those songs that's been overplayed by rock radio so much. And you know what? I still like it when they use it in commercials.
Yeah,
especially when there's a black fellow and a white fellow, and they're going to show you how these two fellows from different backgrounds can fight crime and get along together. Say, the boys are back in town.
Now it's a good song. Now, don't put that song down. It's just overplayed. Can't really criticize the song because it's overplayed.
Sure,
because
there
have been a lot of great songs that have been overplayed.
Sure you can. Hold on a second.
What are you looking for right now?
Well, I'm trying to see if there's anything else on here.
Something powerful with good energy.
No,
set the pace for the show.
I like Misty Mountain. Mm-hmm. That works for me. Would that make you happy today?
Absolutely.
All right, let's roll with it then.
There we go.
There it is.
Why am I in love?
I think about my life in places.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh.
This is classic rock. It doesn't get much more classic than this. And here comes your favorite part right here, Mike.
Robert Plant.
This is so fucked right here. I think about my life, everybody.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6, or between 1 and 5, or between 2 and 4. Or please check your local listing.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Are you ready to rock?
Brother, what can I do to help you?
Yeah, I don't
forgot. Actually, you know, this is much better now in practice than it was in theory.
Yeah, see, I like the Zeppelin, too, but
this,
I like
this is a good song.
I like the Zeppelin that you don't hear everywhere.
Yeah, you don't hear this one that often.
Down, 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 down. Now, if Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds did a version of this, there, or Lobo.
Number one.
Only they do it with vocals. So he goes,
la, 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 la.
Woo, woo, woo.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Yeah.
Hi there. Hi, Tony.
Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
You like the Zeppelin, right, don't you?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the door isn't even really necessary.
Here he comes, though.
Here he is.
He's coming in.
All right, here is Rob Speedbump.
He's mentally retarded.
How's your gay mobster?
How's your Zeppelin?
You didn't play the song I always want.
What? Which is what?
Saturday Morning Confusion.
Oh, God, yeah, I remember that one. Oh. Didn't you play that a while back?
Never on the air, Mike.
Oh, good.
That's one that not even I will play on the air.
Good for you, Don.
Holy and Q. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hamilton and Joe Frank, but not Reynolds. And all the ships at sea, hey, they commit.
Yep.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara!
Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode. Everybody on this Tuesday. 04-11 Hot 6.
Hi, Donald. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi there, Buzz. Hey, listen, anybody can call the show. It's unlisted, so get the number right now. 877-365-3636. We have an 800 number. 800-636-1067. And if you're listening in Washington, D.C., home of the non-sold-out Nationals, you can call 202-432-1067. Yes, we're on the intranet. Go to your computer. Go to DonandMikeWebsite.com. And you're going to get some of our internet stream. Mike?
That is, I mean, as steamy as I've ever seen. That is piping hot.
It is one of the former members of Led Zeppelin. So many of them are dead now. It's one of them.
Is that Robert Plant?
No, he's still alive.
Oh, one of the dead ones?
It's one of the dead guys.
Is that John Bonham?
John Bonham, the drummer, right?
Is John Bonham no longer with us? Yeah, you're right. He's gone. So Robert Plant is still with us, though.
We have liquefied him. And it's
Jimmy Page still with us, I believe.
John Paul Jones. It's him in the stream today.
Right. Not very big of that. Anyway, well, it's hot.
So, kids, you know, it's going to be like...
Oh, there it is.
Like at Woodstock, you know, when he said, watch out for the brown acid.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful with the internet stream today.
Don't take the brown stream.
Go to our website, DonandMikeWebsite.com. That's where you can hear us on the internet. And if you want to send us electronic mail, same thing. Write us. DonandMikeWebsite.com. Just click email. Yanni Norman, who is our webmaster, is in the back room. He answers the emails during the show. Anybody writes anything really good, it gets brought right in the studio. And we're on iTunes as well. If you have the iPod, go to iTunes and click on the talk radio genre. There we are right there. Oh, there you go. You happy now?
I am very happy. What a great way to start the show.
I'm glad that today we could pick a song that made you happy.
That's very, very good.
Really?
I like that. Thank you.
Yeah. Tomorrow we'll go back to Fag City, my city.
I don't mind that city. I enjoy Fag City every now and then.
And you know what?
Good for you.
I don't mind rocking out every once in a while.
You like an amazing variety.
Of course I do.
As do I.
I just hate the ones that are played over and over and over
again. How about tomorrow, Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin?
Do you remember that? Really? I mean, and we were forced to. It was horrible.
You hardly ever hear that anymore.
It was the worst. You really don't hear that anymore.
There's a reason that even on the stations that everybody could agree on, even the boss, even those idiots hate that song.
That's right. But back in the 80s when we had to play it, there was a period of time when it was a hit and we had to play it, oh my God.
Every hour.
All the time.
And at the time, I think we were at a point in the show when we were playing exactly one record an hour.
We were
just segging out of playing music. And I remember one of the program directors saying, well, if it's one record an hour, you better make it Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah, it was so horrible.
So we'd play four songs during a four-hour show. It's the same song every goddamn hour.
Wow. Truly terrible.
People couldn't get enough of it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
John Paul Jones is still alive, dude. That's the only one that's gone.
All right, well, then it's Bonham who's in our stream today.
Great, 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 great drummer.
Thank you,
great drummer.
Thank you. See you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That sounded like a Zeppelin. My brain is a little fried, but I remember that one. Here we go.
He's a drummer.
He's a drummer.
I got another Zeppelin song that I bet you like and I like, too.
Okay. All right.
It was, I believe, the flip side. I'm a big believer in flip sides.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Immigrant Song?
Yes.
Ah. 2 minutes. 2 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
The flip side, even better.
Here it is. Right now, this is Robert Plant. And don't worry, be happy.
Now, if you're just perhaps driving around, you're one of our many listeners carrying a loaded weapon in your vehicle. At this point, what you want to do is take the gun out of the glove compartment.
All your problems are about to mysteriously go
now
away.
Now, what you want to do is put it right in your mouth. I'll tell you why. Hold on.
Here's a little song I wrote.
Not yet. Don't shoot.
I want to sing it note for note. Don't worry.
Wait until
we have it. Be happy.
That's what you just...
God.
There you go. Yuck.
John.
Yuck.
Wow.
Just get it out of there. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Get her done.
Hello.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Howdy.
This is a retard from the public service announcement. Why don't you guys say, hey, Frederick?
He's mentally retarded.
Come again, trying to be funny guy?
I like it when people have their comedy prepared, and once their opening monologue is over,
on and gone,
it's silent.
Mm-hmm. Come again?
Or they just hang up?
Oh, he's still here. Line's still open.
What was your point, sir?
The point is, when you start the radio program, start it with, hey, Frederick from Jefferson Airplane.
Start it with what from Jefferson Airplane?
Hey, Frederick.
Hey, Frederick.
I would much rather start with Tracy by the Cufflinks.
Yes.
So you don't understand that, sadly. You're not a student of music like me.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've selected is perhaps the polar opposite to what you've just selected.
How about we start with Precious and Few by Climax?
That is so ridiculous.
I would have no problem with that,
okay.
Mike.
Thank you.
It's a very pretty song.
It is so gay.
Bye!
Precious and few are the moments we two can share.
What's the best part of that song? Do you remember the best part of that song? We two can share.
Quiet and blue, like the sky. I'm hung over you.
Can't find my way
back home. Can't find my way.
It just wouldn't be fair. It's precious and few are the moments we two can share. Wasn't that with two X's too?
Nope. That was.
There was another one.
That was, I think. No parking on the dance. It was something like, no parking in the ladies' room.
Okay.
Climax. K-L-Y-M-A-X-X.
It was not no parking on the dance floor?
Nope, that was somebody else. That was somebody else.
No parking on the
dance
floor.
Hello there.
Hello.
Donna Mike show.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Sherry, and I was at the game today, and I was part of the military furling of the flag.
You're talking about the NADS opener?
Yeah.
What would you estimate the crowd to be? Was it short of capacity?
Like, I would say, like, way less than half. It was very disappointing that...
Sucks. See, I knew, I mean, they didn't sell 9,000, but see, I think it's more than that. I really do, a lot more than that.
But there was, it was, I mean, I could have, I'm standing in the stadium looking around going, where is everybody? And then when we're leaving, everybody's coming in late, and that whole thing with the first day. Of-
Rob, I don't, hold on a second, Sherry. Rob, I don't want to yell at you, but you've got your book of music out. What?
Climax was I Miss You and
okay,
meeting
okay,
the ladies.
Okay, okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
You care.
Love you. Bye.
But get out of here. Bye. Bye. Talking about something else now.
He points at you and says, you care.
Jesus Christ. Listen, here's the deal. You guys deal with this today.
Well,
I'm a little, not you, Sherry. I'm talking to Rob and everybody else on the show. A little sleep deprived, a little uptight about doing that interview about Frida, which was just a little bit, I just wanted to just do a regular show now. Mm-hmm. And you're great because you were at the game. You're going to back up what we were saying.
I mean, less than half she's saying. And less than half. No. I want to get the stat.
Nobody's there. Meanwhile, the whole time, all I see in my mind is Rob standing at the microphone, waiting his chance with his big, gigantic book of every record that's ever been published or made the Billboard Hot 100.
But I got two more points. Guess who was sung the national anthem?
Now, that doesn't count. Just because you're not going to say it, don't write it down.
I had to get it out.
No parking on the dance floor done by Midnight Star.
Midnight Star. Okay. All right. Now we know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Now we can move on. Thank you. Who sang the national anthem at the game today, ma'am?
Placido Domingo.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I like good old opera star. That's a little DC right there, you know? Little class, little highbrow.
No, you know, you need to get Chuck Brown. That's what you need to get.
That would have been good, too.
Chuck Brown.
Roll five.
Chuck Brown, the king of go-go. We are running this commercial now here in DC.
I love this commercial. It's my favorite commercial currently running on the station.
I mean, you know, my whole bitch with the entire lottery thing
right.
is that I think it's an incredible ripoff that it's marketed towards the people that can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying to people who really can't pay their rent mm-hmm. is take what little money you have and put this in this one in a billion shot.
I could not disagree more.
That you're going to win the money.
What they're saying is you have it's just like Dumb and Dumber when he said, so you're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, except the spots.
This to me tells me go to your bank. Grab fistfuls of cash if you have it, no matter what's in the account, whether it's singles or 20s, and get down there and spend it all on lotto tickets.
The spots, at least here in D.C., Chocolate City, that we're running have mm-hmm. Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers, the kings of go-go music.
Right.
Okay, hip-hop before hip-hop was hip-hop.
Right.
And the commercial is something like this. It's with one of Chuck Brown's songs.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah.
Roll
boom,
five.
Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, boom, boom, boom. And, you know. And what they are doing in this commercial, I'll give them this, they know who the audience is.
Mm-hmm.
You are going for lower-income African-American. There I used the PC word.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for lower-income African-American people who will like hearing this.
If they're going for lower-income African-American people, then how come that commercial speaks to me so much? How come every time I see that song, I want to get out there and I want to get to the lotto?
Did you buy a lottery ticket after you heard it?
No, because I can't get that because I live too far away. Yeah. It's a D.C. thing.
Mm.
I don't want to drive the distance it would take.
You have the commercial?
I live out in the burbs, unfortunately. But, Don, the most important thing to remember is you can't win if you don't play.
That's right.
I sometimes pepper that commercial because I find that commercial to be, believe it or not, with my sensibility,
mm-hmm.
a little over the top. So every once in a while when you hear that commercial, you might hear me throw one of these in.
Ooh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A little something like, this is my way of saying.
One comment.
You know, it's my way of sticking it to the man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, sir, you're the man.
You are
so
the man.
You might be sticking it to yourself. Oh, yes, I might.
Maybe.
Maybe. That's
but, sir, you are the man. Well, then wouldn't you be sticking it to yourself? Maybe.
Anyway, Sherry, I'm sorry. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
So you were disappointed, right, Sarah? Were you part of a color guard?
It was the D.C. National Guard, and they had a flyover and fireworks and everything.
Wow. I'm blown away by that. I'm really blown away that it was that bad a turnout. I hope they make it a news story. They won't. They won't.
And,
no, you know
and
what I mean?
The people changed throughout the first pitch, and they booed him.
Oh, when Chaney came out?
Of course they beat him.
Well, that's good.
Are you kidding?
That's not a bad thing. Like they didn't throw steroids at him. You know what they should have done was...
throw nitro at him?
Yeah. I was going to say. Now you
and not like anything
nitro
else. I'm talking about the stuff you put
under
your
tongue.
Heart
medicine. Yeah. So just thinking, you couldn't throw steroids and you couldn't throw syringes like at Barry Bonds.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't throw a shotgun like the one that he shot the guy's face off
with. Couldn't do that.
But Mike, I had the same thought at the same time. You could throw nitroglycerin pills that he has to take when he feels the big one coming.
Or Twinkies. You know, just because isn't he the poster child for bad health?
No, didn't you
bad
see,
heart health?
Didn't you see the rider that he has in a hotel room?
No, what?
This was on the news when we were on vacation, that when Dick Cheney arrives anywhere, he has a deal like Van Halen, where he wants two packs of playing cards, a copy of four or five different newspapers, and a six-pack of diet caffeine-free Sprite.
Yep.
Really?
And the TV tuned to Fox News.
Yeah, that's the part that's not the joke.
Right.
All TVs turned to Fox News Channel.
Right.
And they actually had a picture of the letter that they sent to some hotel that Cheney was going to be staying at.
Yeah, all I know is that President Logan better keep his eyes on Vice President Cheney.
That's right.
Yes.
That's for sure.
All right, Sherry, thank you for the call.
All right, goodbye.
Bye, honey. Bye.
Bye!
Not a lot of people out of the old ballpark.
You get the flyover, you get the fireworks, and you get half a stadium.
All right, well,
it's crap.
It's D.C. You know, I think we should just embrace it. I think Washington, D.C. is the greatest city in the world. We should be happy that we live here.
Mm-hmm.
But we should just embrace the fact it's not a good sports town. No. Let's face it. It's not Boston. It's not Chicago. It's not Philly, as much as it pains me to say that about those animal feces-eating people in Philadelphia. And they are like monkeys. They're like monkeys and dogs in Philadelphia.
Throwing stuff.
Christ, me and Mike, though, when we were on up there, we met those Eagles fans.
I would like to take a survey of opening days around the ballparks. I'm sure there are some ballparks that drew worse than we did.
I guarantee that nobody did worse than us. And I throw out...
You think so? You think we did the worst?
Here's I throw out as an example.
Okay.
The Pittsburgh Pirates.
Right.
Suck ass.
Pittsburgh, it's all about their sports in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And they're the kind of fans that fan out to different cities, and you see them showing the colors everywhere you go.
But the Pittsburgh Pirates draw dick.
Because they have sucked for so long. Because
they don't buy any players, and they stink even though they've got a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They sold out yesterday.
Right.
And I know they sold out because I saw on SportsCenter today. It's actually pretty funny. They got Michael Keaton to throw out the first pitch.
Is he a Pittsburgh native?
Because he's from Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
First pitch, pretty funny. Hit the dirt.
Oh!
So you know what
that's
he did?
What you don't do. You overthrow it more than hit the dirt.
But Michael Keaton, pretty good move. Puts the glove up like, throw it back. Uh-huh. Give me another chance.
Uh-huh. Right?
Because he's got, and they made a point of saying, the stadium holds 36,000. There were 37,000 people there yesterday. He got it on the second throw. Overhand through it, right down the middle, strike.
So now, the capacity for baseball at RFK would be?
About 40?
48, maybe?
Maybe less than that.
Maybe less than that?
Like 42?
Okay, I'd really love to hear, because they probably have it already. I mean, it's late in the game now, so they probably have it already.
Oh, they're going to have all kinds of excuses, because the team doesn't have an owner, because the team doesn't have a good TV deal.
Right.
Oh, please. It's just the way people are here.
No, but you know what you're talking
Let's
about?
Let's embrace it.
You're talking about opening day.
The opening day
is opening day.
Mm-hmm.
It's embrace it. It's something to be proud of. Yeah, I'm from Washington, D.C. We don't support our teams.
Mm-hmm.
We got a hockey team. Nobody goes. We got a basketball team. Nobody goes. We got a baseball team. Nobody goes. We got a football team.
I was a season ticket holder at one point for the hockey team.
That's true.
I really was. I was a season ticket holder.
It stopped being in vogue to go to the baseball games when it became easy to get tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way the town operates. Well, if
teams
you can't
only
be there.
Yeah, that's right. If it's a tough ticket that corporate America, that the lobbyists in this town can control, then that's when it becomes the big deal.
Exactly. Well, CNBC.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get right to it. Let's get right to Joe's tapes.
Okay.
I would love to tell you about what's happening with the language barrier in my house. And just remind me, I got to talk about my daughter. I am socially retarded with the things that I say to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I really wonder how people even tolerate me. That I'm just, listen, here's the deal. About Amy, who's 30. Okay, my daughter, from my first marriage, you know that, I went through a very rough patch with her for about 28 years of her life.
Mm-hmm.
But things are cool now. Well, I don't know her well enough yet still that I can... God, this is such a long, drawn-out story. I'm just too sensitive. I'm such a pussy. Her anniversary was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Or Saturday. My granddaughter's birthday was Sunday.
Right.
I had already arranged for the granddaughter to have a cat There was a cat that they wanted to get from the local rescue league, and that, you know, Frida was all about that, so I'm all about that. Mm-hmm. So I arranged for that, for the cat to have it shot, and it was a cat that they wanted to adopt. And then I also, you know, threw the money I told you in that Scooby-Doo card that I sent out. And I sent her a card and a gift as well for their anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to her over the weekend, and she didn't make any mention about it to me. And even when I spoke to my granddaughter on Sunday, you know, Amy said, hold on, Grandpa Mike wants to say hi to you. And I said, hi, Addie, how's the cat? I didn't say anything like, did you get the extra card that I sent you? Because I sent the cards on Wednesday, figuring Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They got to be Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So she doesn't say anything to me about it. And I really stood on this because it's the type of sensitive pussy I am.
You want to know that the cards have been received.
Right. I don't. I just want to know that they got them. So Sunday night, I normally check in with my kids, and I can say it now with both of them. I check with them all the time. I always call them to say, hello, how you doing? Sunday night, kind of on purpose. I got home from whatever I was doing, and I said, hey, you know what, look at that. Boy, she didn't even call. I won't call her tonight. So yesterday morning is now Monday. I called her up. I said, you know, good morning, sweetie. How you doing? How are the kids? We talked. She makes no mention of anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh. Okay, you rat. I didn't say anything.
Right.
I don't say nothing. I just go, all right, have a good day, sweetie. If you need me, call me. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Click. I get to work later in the day. I call. I leave a message. Last night, I got home. I played the same game again. It's like I'm a drama queen playing this game. I go home and I go, well, I've called her and she didn't call me.
You're playing the game incorrectly.
She didn't call to say that she did. I said she must have received the stuff.
You got to get right to it because you cover your butt completely if you get right to it. If you ask right from the get go, that's the strategy that's been used by women in my family for decades.
But here's the
and it's the old screw job. And if you have received it, you got to say yes. And if you say yes, then you realize immediately that A, you didn't say thank you, or you didn't send a thank you card out, and you don't have to worry about beating around the bush.
No, hold on. And I know I should have just said on Sunday, did you get the card?
Right.
Because she would have told me at that time she hadn't gotten it. But here's what happens. Last night, yesterday was Monday.
Uh-huh.
We got done with the show. I go home. I notice, oh, again, no phone call from my daughter. So I say, again, screw it, you know. No, I'm having a pity party. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. I'm not going to call her up. So, this morning about 9:30, phone rings. I see it's her.
Mm.
Oh, look who's finally calling. Right? I go, hey, good morning, sweetie. Because things are very cool with us. And
right.
First thing she says is, I just want to let you know that we got your cards. And I said, oh, that's fantastic. When did they arrive? She said, yesterday. Wow. And I said, oh. I said, you know, here's exactly what I said to her. I said, I was thinking bad things about you over the weekend, and I apologize for that, because I thought you had received the cards and just didn't say anything about it, and I felt awkward saying to you when I spoke to you on Sunday, like, hey, did you get the cards?
Mm-hmm.
But now what you're telling me is that, in fact, you did get the cards, so I'm really not mad at you for what happened on Sunday, because you didn't know that I had sent you anything. You must have just thought that I was a clod, and you should know by now that I don't forget things like birthdays and anniversaries, but I didn't say anything to you. Did you get the card? But then on Monday, you got the card, and you didn't call me to tell me that you got the card, and it's now Tuesday, and you're calling me. And she said, so are you mad? And I said, well, I don't know. Are you mad? And she said, I don't know if I'm mad. And I said, boy, I'm having a bad day, Amy. I said, I'm having a bad day.
So wait, so when did she get the cards?
Yesterday, Monday, during the day.
So when did you want her to get the cards?
Like yesterday after, I wanted her to get them on Saturday.
Right. Okay.
I mailed them on Wednesday.
So they were late, and so the screw up was with the you know, did you get the impression that she might have expected them on the weekend or something like that?
No, see, here's the thing, there's not that, I don't have that level of communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's like at one point I'm just sitting at I'm holding the phone and I'm going, now hold on, when did they arrive? The postmark says Wednesday, right? And she says, yeah. And I said, when did they get there? She said, yesterday. And I said, okay, yesterday, Monday. I said, Amy, you don't know me that well yet. I'm really sensitive about this type of stuff. I said, I would have appreciated a call saying that you did, in fact, receive the stuff.
Because you're worried about
it. Because, you know, I sent it out, and then, so it was like, I left it where she said, well, all right, I guess I'll talk to you tonight. And it's like, I'm sitting looking at the phone going, oh, all right, I guess I'll talk to you tonight. You know, like, okay, I can't friggin' win here.
Yeah.
I can't win. And then just to seal the deal, because it's the kind of ass I am, I said, all right, have a good day, sweetie. Tell the kids I love them. Tell them hi. And she said, okay. I said, I sense there's still something. She said, no, everything's fine. I said, you know, just for future reference, here's the only two words I'm looking for. Thank you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And then, you know, silence. I mean, it's like a piece of tumbleweed is somehow blowing.
The Cricket Center.
There's tumbleweed blowing through downtown Minneapolis where she lives. And I realize that I've said the absolute wrong thing because she's been very appreciative of everything. And it was just,
Can I give you a little tutorial in Catholic guilt? Can I seriously? Because believe me, I grew up with this. This is how it's done. And now this isn't because I've done it, because you know me. I've rebelled against it. I rebel against two things, yard work and thoughtfulness, because of the guilt that was heaped upon me. I have this reputation on the show for quite some time. The guy that comes in here and forgets people's birthdays, goes out to the ATM and hands somebody something, you know, seriously, that I do that? But one of the reasons is I was given this guilt by aunts, grandparents, parents, and this is what's done. This is how they do it. And maybe this is for you in the future. If you require that, this is what you say. Did you get the gift? Say you send a gift
card.
Did you get the gift I sent?
As a matter of fact, I did.
Oh, did you like it?
Oh, no, I'm just telling you.
No, but you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is...
I know, but see, but...
No, wait, hold on.
Hold on.
No, let me finish.
Isn't it too pushy, though?
No!
Isn't it too pushy?
This is a strategy that's been implemented and utilized by Catholic women in my family for decades, and this is what they do. Honey, did you get the card that I sent? Your only response is, yes, I did. Oh, did you like it? Because if you don't say thank you then, they're going to get their thank you. And you are immediately put in the position of feeling awkward. Because if you said that you said, did you get it? Or she said to you, I received the card, right?
Yes, that's the first thing she said. She said, your card.
She volunteered it. If you were looking for the thank word, you have to say, did you like it? That's all. They will do that.
You're
kidding
me.
Yes, because my mom would do it.
She can't be, and I mean this in only the nicest way. She can't be that.
Do you know what I would get if it was another family? Do you know what it
was? I mean, I know she lives in Minnesota and she's been raised by wolves, but
no,
please.
No, sometimes that's necessary. Uh-huh. It's to get to, so you can get satisfaction. You have to do it. And my mom wrote the primer on it, and she did it. When it would be other people she was speaking for, 10 times worse.
He's right.
Did you get that card from your Aunt Mary? I said, oh, yeah, it was really nice. Did you let her know? Oh, yeah. Game, set, and match.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's the way.
Mm-hmm.
So what the way is, it's like, hey, did you get the card? And if she says, we got your card, she goes, oh, did you like them? Almost impossible for her not to respond, yes, thank you.
Uh-huh.
It's almost a
makes
given.
It easier.
If she doesn't do that, you know what? If she doesn't say it then she's maybe she's playing a game a little bit. But if it's a normal situation, you have to deal with that head on.
I'm just too sensitive.
Wait a minute. You're in the driver's seat when you do this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? You're the one that has sent the thing.
Yeah, you're covered.
You're the one that has sent the thing. And because of that, you're just asking if it was received and if it was liked.
But isn't it like you're coming off like...
You're not doing anything
wrong.
Isn't
it like you're coming off like a dick, like, hey, I'm thoughtful.
Did it
arrive? I sent those cards.
Yes.
How about Mr. Wonderful, huh?
Yes.
Did my card arrive?
Just like my family members did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's an a-hole move, but it's a socially acceptable a-hole move.
I'll remember it.
And always has been.
Yep. I'll
That's
remember
exactly
it
how it's
I,
done.
Because I know on some level, I threw a monkey wrench into it today. I mean, she's fine.
It'll be fine.
I'm just, you know, telling you what's going on in my life. But, yeah.
But do you understand, if you do it that way,
mm-hmm.
you will have satisfaction, and you can never lose in that situation.
That's fair.
That equation, impossible to lose.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don, Mike.
Yes. Yeah, howdy.
Hey, listening to Mike talk about the handbook on guilt. Yeah,
right.
His mom got it from my grandma.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And it would always be, did you get the, and you know, really, it's better if they're an advocate for a third party. Did you get the things that your Aunt Lila sent you?
See, now again, though, you know what? See, that's where I miss Frieda. Yeah. I don't have that third party who could have said, hey, did you get the stuff that your dad sent?
It's you know what? It's good to have a third party like that. It makes it even better.
I still get reminded of the night when I was 4 years old that she stayed up all night because I was sick.
Never did catch up on her sleep.
All right, dude. Thank you, my friend.
And the way they do that is that they won't say that I stayed up all night. Then they go, you were so, so sick.
Yeah.
I was up all night long just looking at you, and I felt so bad for you. And what they're doing is at the same time they're telling you that you were so sick and you look so pathetic, they're telling you that they were there with the
All right, I will learn from your lesson.
Oh, my whole life.
I will learn. All right. Well, Jesus Christ. Now we got to break again. And we've not even started Joe out at the Nationals game.
We will.
Half a fag from The Sopranos.
Oh, goody, Vito. Yeah.
Vito. So let's stop all of this stuff.
What's his name, Andy Granatelli?
His name is Joey Ganzacalli.
Joey Ganzacalli.
Joey Ganzacalli?
Ganascoli.
Ganascoli?
Ganascoli.
Joey Ganascoli.
Joey Ganascoli.
I like it.
Joey Canaganascoli.
We probably won't be able to pry any information out of him about the upcoming episodes.
No, he won't tell us anything, but still we'll be able to tell him how great he is as a faggot.
Yeah. He's wonderful.
And he just had surgery.
He did?
Yes.
Oh, that's right, the lose the fat surgery, right?
No, two new hips.
Really?
Well, the two new hips have to do something with the fat, though, I would imagine.
I don't know. I got my hips.
He's not that old a guy.
No, he's not.
But on the show, he's allegedly on the Atkins diet,
right,
where he has lost, 30 or 40 pounds?
Like when he walks by and grabs the hot dog. Really, he's one of the best characters on that show, one of the best new characters on
In that. Real life, he's gone from 400 to 250.
Oh, okay, so maybe the hips are bad because of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we will talk to him in a second.
Good.
Let me just see. Leave that in there for a second. Is that Joe? Is that Joe in that
preview?
Yes,
let's see.
Mm-hmm.
We do have Joe out of the Nationals game today. Hello?
Hello. Does this still work? I just dropped it.
Is she pretty
sure? Hey, it still works.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Listen to him. Let's wait till he talks.
That's his cell phone.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it's a pitch-down cell phone ring.
It's slow. It's running slow, man.
No.
Hello.
No.
May I ask you a few questions for the internet and broadcast on CBS Radio?
Sure.
Thank you. And on behalf of the NBA, welcome to opening day at FedEx Field. Are you excited?
Absolutely.
All right, that's a good start.
That's a good team.
That's a good start. We've got Joe with a bunch of people at the opening. I was with you. That sounded to me when he first started talking,
it kind of sounded sounds to me like maybe a fraction of it, but you never know. You never know with the battery situation.
All right, we'll find out. And how about that 24 last night?
The best of the season.
I know I'm just throwing stuff out there, but I know we're going to get to the half a fag guy and then the Joe's tapes. We may not get back to this today. You know, what can I say? Jack Bauer.
He's the man.
Does not disappoint, does he?
It was the best crafted, I thought, of the whole season. It was so perfectly beginning, middle, end.
And I don't know about you, but my Oogie moment was when President Hughes was like making out with Gene Smart.
Yeah, when they have one of their intimate scenes together and you could see where they appeared to have put putty in his pierced earmarks.
And she's just pawning over him. She's like,
she's faking him out, right? Because she smells a rat.
You made the right decision. You're the right guy. I want to put my tongue in your mouth. And the whole time, he's like kissing her, and he's kissing her.
Good. That was just incredible. And I'm real sorry the bank manager got it, Poor guy. Now, it bothered me. I didn't want to see him get it.
Mikey's a brave American. Once he was in the vault with Jack and with David Palmer's brother, and he heard the tape of Logan, he said, well, if I stay here at the bank, I'm going to be dead, so I might as well go with you guys.
Well, I flat out want to see RoboCop go to meet his maker.
Yeah.
It better happen soon.
Get him, Aaron.
I think RoboCop is going to live the whole year.
I think you might be right. I think, we don't have a villain if you get rid of RoboCop. Unless another guy materializes. Well, no, the big villain is the president.
The president's the worst guy of all.
But that was just so sweet. Just so sweet.
A really good 24.
Jack
really
Bauer, good. Call the cops so that they'll have a shootout, and that's how they'll be able to escape.
And I am glad to see that the best overbite in showbiz
Mr. William Devane is coming back. I'm landing in Ventura in 15 minutes, darling.
Divert my plane to Los Angeles.
And let's keep it off the manifest.
Yeah.
Make sure I want to meet with my daughter, Audrey Vrain.
Where are those glasses I wear that just go over the corner of the top of my nose?
Make sure President Logan doesn't know about it.
Divert my plane to L.A.
This is William Devane.
And Chloe. You have to love Chloe.
Chloe was rocking last night.
More every day.
Chloe's so good.
She is the best. Coming out of the bathroom.
When the new chick walks up there and says, hey, I got a problem. She says, do you got a minute? And Chloe just looks up and goes, no. No.
And that little minion from Homeland Security,
He's a good evil guy.
They had all the things.
All the elements.
Last night.
Really good. That show 24 kicks ass.
Mm-hmm.
Every single night it kicks ass.
I'd be happy to meet with you.
Who are you?
My name is William Devane. I'm from DOD, Department of Defense. I'm the secretary. Coming back from a summit meeting in Japan.
Hello, Dad. It's Audrey.
Hello, Audrey.
Hello, Dad. It's Audrey.
What can I do for you?
Dad, they stuck a tube in me today to try to get me to tell the truth.
Divert my plane to Los Angeles. I'm meeting with my daughter, Audrey.
I'm on my way now. Dad, I found the tracking unit thanks to Chloe, and I put it on a garbage truck.
Actually, that was your phone repair truck they put that on.
I'm sorry, Papa.
Not that we all don't watch your show five inches from the screen.
Oh, my Papa. Yeah. I had that tube in me just hours ago, and now I'm beautiful and radiant.
When are you and Jack Bauer going to make me a grandson?
Divert my plane.
Okay, we'll be right back. I'll be right back.
It's the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
We're going to do it. We should do it ourselves. Maintain control. Better yet, tell New York to f***ing handle it already.
John just asked me specifically.
So it's like the movie, then.
What movie?
One. That you can't refuse a man's request on his daughter's wedding day?
No, it's the other way around. That I should be asking him for something he can't refuse.
So did you?
No.
You should ask not to do this.
I already f***ing agreed.
I'm just saying I don't think it's a good idea.
Well, I didn't ask you what you f***ing think. The Don and Mike Show.
Legendary Canadian troubadours, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know what Christopher said about the veto?
Maybe there's a homo. Thought there was no one he could talk to about it.
Maybe he was a homo, was that there?
Maybe he was a homo.
Maybe he was a homo.
That's it.
He's Vito from The Sopranos. Hey, Rob, why don't you just dial him up?
We got it.
While you dial him up, I'll get his clip here. His famous clip from Sunday night's episode.
It's when he gets caught in the gay bar, and of course, in the mafia circles he's traveling in.
All right,
not a good thing.
Beautiful.
It's unusual.
Vito from The Sopranos. Oh, that's still Sly and the Family Stone. Always worth hearing them.
Sure.
But not what we were looking for.
Vito? What the f***, Sal? Hey, what are you doing? Nothing. I was here. It's a joke.
You're f***.
Watch it, buddy. You f***ing watch it.
Cupcake?
Guys, come on. It's okay.
You think so?
Sal, please. It's a f***ing joke.
Right. Sure. Say hi to your wife.
I'm serious. Yeah. Sal, please. Don't say nothing, Sal.
And then he goes to a motel and we leave him with a gun.
Put me on hold. He'll be right with us.
Put you on hold?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I thought we were calling him live on the air. I thought you set that up with him.
He forgot about his USA Today interview. I spoke to him 10 minutes ago.
We're going to speak with Vito.
Okay, hang on.
Joe.
Okay, good.
What's Joe's last name?
Garascoli.
Garascoli. Joe Garascoli.
Thank you for pulling himself away from USA Today. Joe Garascoli. Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's happening?
Joe,
how are
hi
you?
Hi there.
All right.
I'm Don, and this is my buddy Mike, and welcome to the show. Now you're busy as hell.
Yeah.
glad we got you on.
I was with the London Times. I gave him the boot so I could talk to you guys.
There you go. We appreciate
you.
It, Joe.
Thank you so much. We will talk about, what is it, cookbook you're promoting?
Cookbook, pasta sauce. I got a lot of things coming on. Where are you guys, where's your show?
Well, we're based in Washington. We're on a few stations around the country.
Washington, D.C. State or D.C.?
D.C.
Oh, really? My brother's a lawyer in D.C.
Oh, wonderful. That's good. Well, you know, the thing we were excited about talking to you is that we catch you at an incredibly timely time on The Sopranos.
Now, last year on the show, when you were going down on that guy in the car,
right,
and Meadows' boyfriend saw you, at that time, we thought, oh, my God, this is going to be like one of those great Sopranos mysteries that goes on forever. The guy is half a fag, but no one's ever going to know that he's half a fag. And when you got the script and you saw that in this particular episode, you were going to have to wear the leather Billy Idol hat,
right,
go to the gay bar, kiss the guy. What did you were you glad that they brought you out? Or are you glad that your character is? And you know, we still don't know if you're going to blow your brains out.
And of course, we know the way it works with you. You know, all you folks on The Sopranos, you're not going to tell us anything about what's happening, right?
I'm going to tell you very little, but I will tell you that the whole kiss thing. I mean, I decided to kiss the guy because we would just dance with him, and then he says, "Be as amorous." The director, Stu Buscemi, says, "The last take." He said, "You could be as amorous as you want," and I knew what he meant. I said, "You know what? I'm just going to go for it. Let me just put a little wet one on this guy's head."
You know what? Wow. You know, I really think though that you sold it. That was really important to the scene, and it came out. It came out great. And man, I mean, that's a hell of a challenge for an actor to have that kind of character. A lot going on there.
Yeah, it certainly is, especially being a Brooklyn kid, you know what I mean? It's not something I didn't grow up in, like, the Village or L.A. It's, what did I say? But then again, you know, I've been in the restaurant business as a chef, so I was,
I've been around.
I don't have a problem with it, so.
Hey, let me ask you about one other thing about your character on a previous episode.
Right.
This season. When you're in Bada Bing, and everybody's eating something, and you say, "I'm on Atkins," and you take just a hot dog.
Right.
I thought that was a gay reference. Am I reading?
I don't know if I said I'm on Atkins.
Somebody may have said Atkins.
Well, we discussed that on the show, and we were wondering, gay or Atkins, which was it skewing more to? Can you enlighten us?
Vito watches his carbs because he lost all the weight.
Right.
And it was kind of funny, he put the hot dog in his mouth, and I think I gave a little look to Bobby Finaro or Eugene. That was a little in-house joke. And even when I said in the second show, you know, maybe he was gay and there's no one he could talk to. You know, that
right. So, little hints all over the place.
Are you
the audience knows that whatever, but the cast doesn't. That's pretty funny.
Right.
Okay. Now, without getting into what's going to happen, because you can't tell us.
Right. But that is one of the great cliffhangers, of all time, really.
And I saw Steve Buscemi directed the episode. I'd love to ask you about that in a second. But are you at this point happy that you may go down in Sopranos history to be remembered along the likes of Big Pussy and Steve Buscemi, where you get guys that have become your favorite characters on the show,
mm-hmm,
and then all of a sudden, gone.
Kaboom.
Teats up. Have you ever thought about that maybe you're not going to be one of those guys that just is on the show and just fades away?
Yeah, how does it, and do they let you know, do they give you notice as far as, when you're shooting a show like this, you know, any show, like The Sopranos, like 24, where, you know, it's ongoing and you have characters killed off, do they give you any kind of heads up, or do you just arrive one day and know where things are going to go?
Well, I usually, let me see, got a little pardon for that. First of all, I'm very glad that on probably one of the greatest shows on TV that I've had such a huge impact. You know, first it was Killing Jackie Jr., which was big in season 3.
Oh, you know, hold on. Let me applaud that. I forgot that. That, and didn't you do it, like, right in front of his house?
No, it was like, it said Booten. It was like the projects of Booten.
Oh, you know.
He was hiding out because he ripped off a card game that went awry, and so I killed him, and that was cool. So that was really big. And then, I came with this idea for the gay character.
Oh, now, hold on. This is your idea to have Vito be gay.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's great. I didn't know that the cast members had that much like influence. Do you go to David Chase with this? Is that how it works, Joe?
You know, you can make suggestions and say, you know, David, how about this or how about that or how about I said this? And they always pick up things from your personal life of who you want and incorporate in your character. Not that, you know, I'm gay, I just got married.
I was just going to say that.
You just got married? Congratulations.
But I was going to say.
Thank you. I back in season 3, I suggested this from a book I was reading about an openly gay character in a mob family in Brooklyn, that the guy was like, with his bad crew, they were responsible for like hundreds of murders. He used to chop them up their bodies in Brooklyn in his bathtub. But he was openly gay, and I said, that's pretty interesting, because you want to play something that's sort of most challenging. I wanted to separate myself from the other actors. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, aim for myself, and what would be, I'm an actor, so I want to act. So they thought about it, and then it, came to fruition in season 5.
Well, you had to be psyched up when this character took on this this new development. That's great.
Yeah, you know what? I thought I saw my character as like sort of a cross between Mike Tyson and Liberace. self-loathing, in denial, a homophobe, hater, that I get serviced and then I knock them out. You know, I kick the crap out of them. That's what I had envisioned.
Yeah.
They took it
to another level.
You know, that's great, though, that you came up, that the idea was yours, because it really, I mean, my God, it added so much to the show. It's fantastic.
But what does it say about you, Joe, that even 3 years ago you were pitching The Sopranos about your character being gay?
Mm-hmm.
What does it say about you, my friend?
I just wanted to separate myself from you. Like, I could have been in the background doing a line or two, and like.
I know, but listen, you don't see Bobby Bacala writing a letter to David Chase. But, you know, please,
you got to have both, too, my friend.
He gave you a my friend. You better watch it. You got to be careful.
Please let me go down.
One of the most memorable scenes in The Sopranos. Yeah, it truly is.
How great is it for you? You mentioned you're from Brooklyn. You're one of those guys who walk around New York all the time. But now, with the added notoriety, after you killed the other guy and you've been more of a focal point of the show in the past couple of years, and especially now.
And also the guy that was going to move in on Tony's territory if Tony didn't survive the shooting.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? You didn't give Karma all the money, did you? That you were supposed to give her when it looked like Tony was going to die, right?
Yeah, I shorted her a little.
Yeah, you shorted her. Okay, all right.
Just a little. And this cliffhanger, nobody knows really what's going
to
happen.
So how great is it for you, Joe, this week to have literally everybody in the world that watches The Sopranos? We all think that you're going to blow your brains out. But because
I have friends ask me the same thing, and they want to make sure I survive. And if not, I said, listen, you waited for 2 years for the show, you'll have to wait another week.
But then, can you answer one thing? Why'd you call Sil? Yes.
I want to see if he heard anything, because I don't know what to do yet. I'm just sort of.
I want to see if those two guys had talked to you.
All right,
I want to see if the word got back to them immediately, and they reached out, and someone reached out to them.
For what it's worth, I hope that you don't blow your brains out.
Yeah, because
come back to be the guy that you're thinking about being, the openly gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be great. They should not kill you off.
It's
for goodness sakes.
It's a lot of fun, and it's just got to be. Did you ever think you'd be part of something that's in your chosen field that they got this huge?
Well, you know what? I'm blessed, and I've been immensely lucky. I bought this all on myself. You know what I mean? I gambled away my money at my restaurants. That's what's in my book. It's like a self.
All right. Oh, the book is called A Meal to Die For.
Mm. Right, and it's about a food fence and a young guy's working as a chef. Young, I used to get into gambling holes, and I used to move bootleg olive oil, wine with phony labels, and stolen shrimp, and to pay off my gambling debts. But in real life, I lost everything gambling, and I moved to L.A. to become an actor.
Wow. Oh, really? So you were in the restaurant business, and you gambled your money away, and you decided to become an actor?
Right.
And what is
within that? But then, in the gist of it, that's fine.
Well, I'm going to ask you then, Joe. If you, I'm here in Brooklyn. I'm here in the restaurant business. I'm here in gambling. I would imagine there might have been some gambling debts. So perhaps you've had experience with some people like you might find in The Sopranos.
Oh, growing up in Brooklyn, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I know real guys that want to be. And I have friends that were like connected, uncles, guys that I knew got killed, guys that I saw people shot. You go out, you see you see it all, man. It's the real deal.
Boy, of all the guys, let me...
That's making me hungry just hearing you tell me. Maybe want a nice big place of peace. Pasta. Just pasta.
I'm going to ask, can I ask
plate
you,
of pasta.
All the characters on The Sopranos, yeah, the people that you hang out with, my question would be, who, you know, a lot of guys, like I know that Paulie Walnuts, you know, comes from that area, you come from that area.
Right.
Who would we be surprised at in the cast would be most removed from that kind of a life that really is, you know, is faking it? That's, you know, somebody that really is not connected. I mean, I think of...
I think like street smart.
Just doesn't come from that world. I mean, I know...
Who would say AJ?
AJ, really?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, if Katie grew up probably in Manhattan.
Right.
I think he's Irish. you know, I don't know. Maybe him, I would say.
He's good. You know, if AJ.
I don't know. Maybe Edie Falco.
Edie Falco, right.
Long Island. I mean, we're all New Yorkers, so we know the deal. But, you know.
What about Ginny Sack?
she's from Jersey, so she knows the deal too. She's around those people.
Now you are a former restaurateur, right, and your book, we mentioned this, A Meal to Die For. What is your favorite Italian dish?
Well, my cooking expertise has been cooking training is French.
Oh really?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's another thing that makes me think maybe you're gay. So kidding, Joe. Yes, kidding, kidding.
You don't want to get whacked here. Watch out.
But you know, French food is it's
bonjour.
It's you know, swishy food. But what kind of what's your favorite French meal? I mean, if you
had, I was a sauce guy. You know, I was a saucy ass, so I like making sauces. You know, sauces for everything. That's what I kind of like, but. You know, being French, I mean, being Italian, of course, you're going to cook Italian, and, but I like, French is a little more sophisticated, and, you know, it just takes it to another level.
On the show, when you guys sit around and eat, whether you're at, Bada Bing or at Tony's house, the food always looks incredible, and I know that probably it's been sitting there under the lights.
And they do that TV thing where it's not the real stuff, right? Yeah. I mean, they spray it to keep it looking fresh and all that.
It's the real deal.
Is it the real deal on the set of The Sopranos?
It's the real deal, and they'll keep bringing out fresh and, you know.
Nice.
It does get, you know, you do 15, 20 takes of eating, like, you know, you see it's a lot of a fake of it. I always see that when I see Tony eating ice cream on the
on the couch.
Yeah. I always see him playing with it and, like, you know, because I'm thinking, man, he must eat so much of that ice.
Yeah.
So he'll play with it and take a little bit and put some in and take some out. And, you know, it's not like when he first probably dove in the first take or two where he said, okay, you know, I'm going to move full ice cream. But now
it's joking. Can you just tell us this much? Do you know your future on The Sopranos?
Oh, yeah, we shot it all.
Yeah, it's all done.
So you know.
It's in the can.
So you know exactly.
So to speak.
He knows, but
yeah,
he's...
Yeah, now there's another gay thing.
that was gay. That was my
thing. That's it. Sorry about that.
Hey, how about this? How's this for gay thing? Vito's great on the piano, but he sucks on the organ.
Hey, bada bing! Hey! There you go. Oh, man. Well, you do great on that show. You really
you
do.
Now, your book is at your website. My God, to spell this thing. Joe, you got to get like something like imnotgayvito.com because
it's at www.josephr.
Well, it's easy to do it. Just say Joe Soup, JOESOUP.com.
Okay.
Joe Soup.
You know, because if you spell my last name, people never spell it. But I used to have a soup restaurant, so it's JoeSoup.com.
Oh, JoeSoup.com. That works much easier than
JOSEPHRGANNASCOLI.com.
Do you see yourself getting more involved in the restaurant business again? Will you go back to that, or will it always be?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to. But right now I have a full line of food coming out. I have, you know, sauces, pasta sauces, olive oil, spices, red and white wine.
This all sounds like the stuff you mentioned you were counterfeiting in your earlier life.
It's not the real deal now.
It's all the real stuff. And how do you tell the difference between real olive oil and fake olive oil?
Well, you know, you got to know what you're dealing with here. And, you know, the people that are using it might not know it, but the people that, you know, professional, they know the difference.
Okay. And Rob was telling me that you lost an incredible amount of weight, too. Seriously, right?
60 pounds, I'm down. And, and I just thought I'm laying in bed over here. I just had double hip replacement.
Oh!
How'd you lose the weight, Joe?
I had the lap band done.
Okay, so you got the stomach thing.
But I would have lost more had I been able to exercise, but my hips were killing me.
All right, so now you, was it a weight-related thing with the hips?
It was sort of like hereditary, mm-hmm. you know.
Because you're not that old a guy. How old are you, Joe?
47.
47. Okay, yeah, you didn't strike me as that old of a guy. So, well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Do you get to pick out your own clothes on the Sopranos,
no.
or do they dress you for that?
Yeah, they dress me.
They dress you because I noticed also this year, Vito is wearing much shinier suits.
Yeah. Well, now that the weight loss is, I'm like, you know, bragging everybody that,
especially when you guys. When you guys stand in front of that place, is it Salvatore? Is that the name of the place with the pig in front?
Satriali's. And one question about the Sopranos: when you're out in New York and you're walking around, and how is it received by people that maybe are a little closer to the life than you are? Do you get good feedback, bad feedback?
They watch it. They don't like the gay thing. They give me dirty looks.
Yeah.
That, believe me, it happens.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I get the dirty looks all the time. It's like, and I know that there's real guys. They're looking like that.
Oh, God, that's scary.
Yeah. Right.
Are you,
I got to pull out this up, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, Joe, it was a pleasure talking to you. We'll have a link to your website on our show. And hope you make it. Hope you're on for the rest of the run.
And good luck with your recovery.
Yeah.
Thank you. Guys are great. Call me anytime. Get the book, A Meal to Die For, at Borders and Barnes & Noble or my website, joesoup.com.
Gotcha.
And any listeners looking for an immigration lawyer, Rudy Ganascoli is the guy.
Way to get that plug in. Thanks, Joe.
All right, Joe.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Nice talking to you, dude.
He plugged his brother. I like that. And I don't mean plugged his brother. Gave his brother a plug.
Yeah, careful.
We won't dwell on the fact.
Maybe he was a homo. Felt there was no one he could talk to about it.
We won't dwell on the fact that it was his idea to be a fag.
Well, that's the actor thing, you know. And, hey, you know what? If he doesn't, we're not probably talking to
him. Actor.
You know?
Maybe he was a homo. Felt there was no one he could talk to about it.
Don, I got
to
say something. You know, that character doesn't take that direction, thank God. I swear to God, we probably aren't having that conversation. He is. He's just a background guy. But now he's in the forefront. What with his sexual preference and all that.
Thank God.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That's great.
That is good. All right. So buy his book. He's another guy. You know, it seems to me that just about everybody on that show is trying as hard as they can. And I would, too, if I was them, to whore it out. I mean, there's all kinds of Sopranos cookbooks. Goddamn video games. And
you know, and to be honest with you, I hope he survives that incident in the motel, thank God.
Thank God. Thank God, seeing they're ready to eat that lead. Which is also kind of a phallic, if you think about it.
I was trying to interpret, like, his tone and what he said, and I get the impression that maybe he's going to take a bullet.
He's gone.
Yeah,
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I think Joe might have let it slip that he is going to make it.
What did he say? Because maybe we missed something. What do you got?
When you asked him whether he knew his future, he said, yes, we shot everything, which means that he's going to be around for a while.
No, or it could mean simply that the entire cast is already shot.
They shot the season.
All of the episodes.
Included. You know, you could look at it both ways, but I can see this guy's...
But hold on. Also, was he referring to... Now, remember with The Sopranos, a season is like 12 episodes.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So is he talking about the 12 they've already done? Or
the eight
more that we're going to get next year.
You know, it's something you got to think about.
All right.
You got to make sure you know what you're doing.
Bye!
Thank God.
Don't hurt your brain thinking about it so much.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
That was the gayest thing I ever heard. You guys are like little schoolgirls.
Thank you. That's right. We like that guy. We've given them plenty of respect.
We like that, too. You want to bust our balls? How would you have handled the interview, tough guy? Or just hang up.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you something. You know what? You come down to Satriani's, they give you a chicken palm and a bullet in the head.
You big, dumb dope.
This is actually gayer than the interview.
The weather is ideal, and there are cool breezes. That cold front moving through here yesterday.
Guys,
we had a four-hour delay. But even though there are those cool breezes, enough searing pressure.
Take one of the Sopranos guys at Augusta. All right, now let's go over and take a look at the leaderboard. Hey, you got some big champions on that thing.
You guys, I'm Jim Dance. I heard a gay club. Club Male. There is Vito from The Sopranos. The guys, look at that. Hey, guys, over the line, kissing a man on the mouth, guys.
Hey, Jim Dance. Don't tell nobody.
Come on now. Hey, hey, Jim, what do you got them pierced nipples for?
Nice cap, Vito.
Thanks a lot. It's made a letter. There you go. Come down to South Reality.
Guys, why do you think... Why do you think they call it butt or cabin? Get what I'm saying, guys?
Jim, it's a joke. It's a joke, guys.
I've got to go call Sean McManus.
Oh, don't tell nobody.
CBS. I've got to call Lanny.
Don't tell anybody,
Lanny,
please.
Don and Mike, my radio buddies, Phil Sims. Phil,
hey.
Phil, what do you think about Vito being a fan?
Jim, for God's sakes, don't tell Dick Enberg. He'll do one of those five-minute pieces on me.
Hello. Noted homophobe Dick Enberg.
Butler Cabin.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey,
hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Did you guys see David Letterman talking to Les Moonves about the Masters last night?
Yes, I did. I caught that on TiVo. And you know, Mike, for everything that you worry about on a much smaller scale,
yes,
with when we have Les Moonves, our boss, on the show.
Right.
Last night, I love that. This guy's our boss, too. He's the boss of radio and TV.
Right.
We don't have time with him like Letterman does.
Right.
But the last time we had him on the show is before he married Julie Chen.
Exactly.
And I started kidding him about it, and he said, hey, knock it off. Stop it. Stop it. Well, last night, Letterman spends the 10 minutes before they get Les Moonves on the phone.
Right.
Railing about the Masters, talking about how
he hates golf.
No, he does not hate TV golf.
No. He doesn't.
What he hates is the pomp and the BS of the Masters. He said, they are drunken fans. However, on CBS you have to call them patrons. He said, it's not the rough, it's the second cut. He said, and they pipe in the fake noises of all of the birds.
And you can't call it a sand trap at Augusta, you have to call it a bunker.
So now what happens is, now he gets his guy.
Seriously, those are the rules.
He gets this guy, Les Moonves, on the phone. And Moonves is doing everything he can do to defuse Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Dave.
He sounded like Tom. Watch it.
You're the greatest. Yeah. You're the star of the network. But as soon as Letterman starts with the stuff saying, hey, but Les, let's talk about Augusta. That's when he said, Dave, listen, we are good friends with the people at Augusta. We love having the Masters on CBS this year. I really think we should talk about something else right now.
Wow.
So it was a good Letterman moment. It's funny to think that guy, who is the head of the radio division for CBS,
mm-hmm.
Well, first off, here's the segment. The segment on Letterman is called Less is More with Less.
Uh-huh.
And what it is, and now who knows this guy, right?
No,
right.
Really.
That's why I love it, because he's our boss, too.
Mm-hmm.
They put up a still photo of him. On the screen, it just...
They do that sometimes. Sometimes they have an actor that's not him playing.
No,
him.
But this is him. And
right.
It said, you know, Les Moonves,
uh-huh.
CEO,
right.
CBS.
On the phone.
And all Letterman is doing is just busting his balls for 10 minutes.
About Augusta. That's great.
Yeah, and then the guy hangs up, and anyway, Letterman started railing about it again. But yeah, that whole thing, you call them patrons, they're not fans.
Well, it's the whole thing with the rules that they set. They basically, it's one of the few sporting events where the venue dictates policy to CBS.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, that's why Gary McCord can't go back there. It's ridiculous.
Hello, Donna Meiser. Gary McCord was only saying what everybody thinks, Mike.
Yes, and he's talking about bikini waxing when he's talking about the greens.
Hello, Don and Mike show. That's true. They canned him for that.
Wow. They canned him. They kicked him off. Not canned him from CBS, but kicked him off the Masters.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Joey Bag of Bagels. That interview was gay because you two guys is gay. All three of you is gay.
All three of you.
There you go.
All three of Joey Bag of Bagels. Forget about it.
I give you that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys. I'm listening online, and I went to that Joe's Soup website. And there's a picture of him with his wife, Diana, up there. And she is quite the lovely.
Really? A hottie?
Yeah, she's a hottie.
All right,
we should check it out.
Thank you,
friend.
Very
all
good.
Right, see you later.
Bye.
That's good.
Right, bye.
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 So long.
Bye. 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 Not in Mike's show.
Look what I'm doing in the front seat of this car. Ooh, surprise. Hello, Meadows' boyfriend.
Be sweet.
Meadows' boyfriend.
Bitch.
And didn't he say something to him in the episode on Sunday? Like, there he is, wearing his Calvin Klein, wearing his Armani, looking good, looking handsome.
He said, look at this nice young dentist in his Calvin Klein.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Oh, great. Finally, you know, and here he is now. checking in on the telephone. That's TV star Oprah Winfrey.
And gone. See, didn't want to stop him down again.
Oh, look at Buzz found the picture on the way. Hey, she is. She is cute.
There's Joey and his wife Diana.
Hey, look at that.
It's him and all of his sauces. Well, you know what? Let's not go overboard about the missus.
Yeah, no.
Okay, let's.
No.
Let's call a spade a spade.
She's good for him.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, for him.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
great.
Hey, for Dan, I want to know if you could tell us a story from years past. One time. Mike left the studio with something attached to the front of his hood on his grill, and he drove home that way.
Well, I tell that story. That's a long time ago. That's when they put a no accidents. Thank God.
Thank God. Right in front of Mike's car. Got a break. Thank you to Joey, Gay Vito, on The Sopranos.
Ganna Scully.
When we come back, it is opening day here at least in D.C. with the Nationals. With and now we are getting reports since we talked about it of. Up to 16,000 empty seats today at the stadium for the opener for the Washington Nationals second year.
A game to die for.
We sent Joe out there today to see what the pulse of the baseball fan in your nation's capital is like.
The whole city is just teeming with baseball fans.
Yeah, there's 8 million people that live here, and... about 20,000 of them showed up for the first game of the baseball season today.
Yeah, well, it was 70 degrees.
Uh-huh.
You don't understand why they stayed away.
Too hot or too cold?
Right in between.
Too perfect.
Yeah,
half the people too hot, half the people too cold.
You know, the weather, honey, well, I want to go to the game, but the weather's just too goddamn perfect.
Too nice. It's just flawless.
Why don't we wait until it gets to be 20 and raining again?
Yeah.
That one's good. And the Mets, who wants to see the Mets?
Yeah, they're only like one of the biggest teams in the National League. No,
why don't we wait for the Padres to come to town?
That's the game I went to see last year.
For the Padres?
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
Have you ever seen, you know, here's the one thing I'll say about the San Diego Padres.
They have a great stadium.
At least they've changed their uniforms, which used to be those awful subway-looking brown.
Because they were kind of doing the brown Padre outfit.
Yes. And have you seen the, I know we've talked about this before, when they wear camouflage?
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
It's weird.
It's very exciting.
It's weird.
But I would have taken the Mets tickets instead of the Padres tickets, but those are the ones that I got.
Mm-hmm. Who's that?
That's Bart for when you break.
Oh, okay. Hey, it's my son, and if he wants to talk to me during the break, it must be something bad.
Oh, no.
Not necessarily.
I'll let me just check in for a second. Hello? Hey, bud?
Hey, Papa.
Hey, bud, you're on the air. You're on the air. So don't say anything that you might regret.
So he's on the air right now.
You're on the air. Are you calling? Are you? Tell me just what you're calling about. The topic is the topic: school, love life, life in general, automobile. What's the topic?
School and life in general.
Okay, good, bad, and different.
Okay. Good on the life in general and indifferent on the school.
All right, hold on.
Okay, that doesn't sound too bad.
I'll get right back to you.
Very good.
I love you. Hold on, buddy. I'll come right back. Hold on.
Sounds like it's not all that bad.
That's another one of the kids that I've got.
Uh-huh.
Who I've got a weird relationship with.
They're all over the country.
They're everywhere.
Nobody's getting in too much trouble, thank God.
Thank God. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
I want to get one more into that.
Hello.
Hello.
Am I on the radio?
Oh, dear. Yes, you are.
Could I just suggest to your California listeners, that since the polls are still open,
polls are open?
Yes, for the governor of California, that they vote for Don Geronimo, especially if they're using the punch card ballot. They should stick their dipstick in Geronimo's hole.
Well, that's certainly one way of looking at it, and we all hear, thank you for that.
Could I just say one more thing?
I'm not sure, but okay.
I just want to say, f*** Lisa Remedy. She's not that hot.
Oh, now, stop. Stop.
This is disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Why did you do that? I mean, no, come on, be real for a second. Explain yourself. Can you?
Yes.
Why did you do that?
What?
I mean, you behave so badly just now. You know, come on. Well, guy to guy, come on. Why? Why?
I must be drunk.
No. You don't get off that easy, pal. You're not drunk. Now, why did you do it? Come on. What guy thing made you do that?
Farfalotus of the blowhole.
No, that's not it either. Come on, you know what it
is.
No, that won't do it either. That won't do it. Thank you for sharing.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right. He's mentally retarded.
Right. Joe. We'll get to the stage in a second, everybody.
Very good.
Notoriously Unco, Don and Mike.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the setup for the show. We're going to play a game. We'll do it tomorrow because we want to hear Joe at the Nationals game.
Yes.
But we'll wait just a second to get to that. Do you have other more pressing items, including maybe your phone calls? Here's a question I have to throw out to everyone.
Yes?
Very seriously, I think we may have promised Tom Gavin during one of his many calls to the show. Tom Gavin.
He's mentally retarded.
I know he is. He really wants, I believe, to wear a bunny suit for Easter. Do you remember that,
yeah,
Buzz?
Yeah, he wants to be the Easter bunny. Remember, we kind of agreed.
He never committed to it.
Now we promised him,
Rob. Is there any way that you can call your friend at the costume shop and on Friday we can set up shop with Tom out front the station in his bunny suit?
Yeah, I'll call Linda.
Okay,
yeah,
would you? Masters Costumes, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
There's
a
plug. Well, there's a plug in advance. How can she possibly say no?
So, Tom, listen, don't be tardy. Give us a... such an easy laugh. Give us a ring.
Yeah, it's just usually the costume involves the bunny head, the outer bunny fur, and then inside is a leotard.
What I would like is, much like the suit that Ralphie has to wear every year on a Christmas Story.
So, well, that's, I think, hasn't he worn it before?
I don't think so.
No, they
burned
that
one. What
was
he before? We had him dressed as Baby Jesus.
Baby Jesus one time, right.
He was Baby Jesus one year.
With a T-shirt.
And I think you've just answered the question, do you want an exposed face or a bulbous head?
I think
we want the exposed face.
Exposed, yeah. I mean, I don't want him behind the whole bunny head.
He could be dead for hours. We wouldn't know.
Exactly.
He's got to be the free money bunny.
Exactly.
We'll have him in front of the station on Friday.
Giving out dollar bills?
The free money bunny, yeah.
All right, good.
Maybe we'll have to do that thing again. Kiss the bunny.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You have to kiss the bunny to get your money.
I think that's a great idea. I like it. What a great day he's going to have.
Yeah. Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Just want to say, I heard Tom Gavin on DC 101, I think it was last week.
Oh,
I was wondering if they knew he was two-timing.
Okay, well,
Tom actually gets a free pass on that.
First off, you like, let me say this to you, because you and Tom have something in common here.
He's mentally retarded.
Okay. You did not know that you were talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Well, now I...
No, you didn't, because you said... You said, do they know?
Yep.
Second.
All right.
Because Tom is... pipe down for a second, we'll give you the real answer. Because Tom is, let's use the word, special.
Uh-huh.
We have no problems with Tom calling any radio show.
That is kind of Tom's life, is to call radio shows.
And as a matter of fact, the morning guy on DC 101, Elliot Siegel, who, for whatever reason... obsesses on this show and really wants to get in a pissing match with us.
Right.
And we won't let it happen because, you know, it's that whole the eagle doesn't hunt flies thing. And really with this guy, I mean it. Just a hack from day one. Although I guess at one point we engaged in some kind of verbal fisticuffs with him where I said something like, hey, if you ever really want to be heard, come on down to our station. I would say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to be a big man, you want to fight or whatever it is, come on down here if you want to show up someday at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But we get emails on our website saying that Tom calls this guy's show.
Right.
And we can't stop Tom because Tom is...
He's mentally retarded.
Well, Tom has called a lot of shows. He's called shows all over the city, and I think he still does.
But the emails that we get indicate that the disc jockey who he's calling says stuff like, hey, Tom, how come Don and Mike are such pussies? Hey, Tom, how come Don and Mike... Hey, listen.
Right.
Elliot Siegel... anything you want to say to us, dude? I mean, you have pretty much already said that you listen to the show every day.
Mm-hmm.
You're jealous of us. You're jealous of the money we make. You're jealous of the ratings that we have. You're jealous of the heritage that we have in this market. We're not going to give you what you want. If you really want the notoriety that comes with being on this show, which is what you want, Elliot Siegel, you have an open door to come by any day at 3 o'clock.
You got to crush him.
Oh, shut up. Now, listen.
Bye!
Now, if it's me, I don't show up at some other DJ show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was different, like, for instance, when Opie and Anthony were working on the same station as
right.
us.
Mm-hmm.
And we were fighting with them. And then the one day I called up because they were calling us names. Right. And, you know, I thought, well, I'll show them I got some balls. I'll call them up. And they kept hanging up on me because they thought it made me look stupid.
Right.
That's one thing. That's a guy we're fighting with who we're working on the same station with. This guy's a hack that does this, the morning show. If he should be fighting with anybody, he should be fighting with the junkies. They're doing the morning show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So to use Tom, and we get a lot of emails about this.
Yeah, we do.
To use Tom as the pawn is really ridiculous. And I'd say to the guy, listen, you really hung up on this show. If you really think I'm such a pussy, and if you really think Mike's restaurant is so bad, mm-hmm. and if you really love talking about us in such veiled terms until you get a retarded guy on the air, if you really want to find out what it's like to do a successful winning radio show, come on down and you can stand outside the window and watch someday. That's my offer to Elliot. That's it.
How can you turn that down?
I'm really kind of past this whole, you know, let's put up the, you know, the Marcus of Queens.
I know.
Dude, the John L. Sullivan.
We've been in some good ones over the years.
Let's battle it out.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
How about a fight? It is the tradition of radio performers that we are the bottom feeders, that we get involved in this. But I like that offer for him.
The one thing that I'll say.
Stand outside the window.
About this guy, Elliot Siegel from DC 101. For years now, it's very obvious he's like Jack Diamond. He listens to our show.
Mm-hmm.
He obsesses on our show.
He certainly sounds obsessed.
And really, although he likes calling me a pussy with Tom, mm-hmm. he loves talking about Mike's restaurant because he's waiting for Mike to take the bait.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting for Mike to take the bait to start a fake radio fight.
Right.
And I think one of the last emails we received was something like, you know, hey, Don, you're all talk. Elliot said he'd come down any day. Okay, here's the truth. Really. When I talk about other DJs, unless it's somebody I really got a real hard on against,
right.
I'm just filling time like WWE time.
Sure.
However, if this guy really has got a real hard on for me, come on down and watch how a pro does the show. Otherwise, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth when you're talking to the retarded boy that calls our show. That's all I'm saying. We can share Tom. I don't mind that we call Tom.
Sure. Right.
And I know you're probably listening right now, Elliot. You're listening at home and you're thinking, oh, my God, look at this. They're talking about me. Well, I know what you want. What you really want is to be here with us because you listen to the show every day. You reference the show all the time. You notice that we don't go out of our way to talk about you.
And then he wants to go out and go out to his own restaurant. That's what he wants to do after he gets up. After the show's over, that's what he wants to do. Because he's obsessed about that, too.
Right.
He talks about it. You know, I have heard that he talks about it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that he talks more about Mike's place than he does about me. Dude, thank you for being a fan. Really, thank you for being a listener. If you'd like, we'll do what we do for sick kids.
It's very unusual.
And we don't talk about
it. It's very unusual for you know, someone who's on at a different day part to obsess over you know that. It's very unique.
I am not saying that we've not talked about him and that I've not called him a jerk off or whatever before, but I do that about everybody. Really, the guy that I'm obsessing about the most would be, probably at this point, Bill O'Reilly. Jay Severin.
Yeah, people that are poisoning our own station.
People on our station.
Fouling the water.
Those are the people that I've really got a personal problem with.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand you're a fan. And although we don't often talk about this because we're not like Jack Diamond, we don't do stuff to get credit. A lot of times there are people, sick people, and not like Make-A-Wish, mm-hmm. but not only from children to teenagers to adults, and they're sick. Or they've been in an awful accident, or like me, they've lost someone recently.
Mm-hmm.
And what they want to do is come down and watch the show.
Right.
And what Mike and I do is we say, sure, we're not going to bring you in the air and exploit you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to see what happens, you know, stand in the other room back there.
Yeah, he can't come in the studio.
No, because we don't
even
let...
He can sit on the other side of the glass.
We don't even let the cancer kids come in the studio.
No.
Thanks, Rob. But if he wants to come down someday, because he's a big mouth on his show, and he's one of these...
We could put a stool for him out there. He could sit on his own stool.
I'm full of piss and vinegar, and I'm a big, tough guy. Listen, dude, me and Mike have been doing it in this market for 20 years. Think about, hey, Elliot Siegel, think about where you were 20 years ago. Wherever you were 20 years ago, Mike and I were doing it here, getting it done already. And let's go even further than that. Where were you in 1974? Because that's when I was already starting to work full-time in radio. So whatever it is that you want, whether you want to take my career by itself when I played records or since I worked with Mike for the last 20 years, no matter how you look at it, you're a wannabe. You're just a wannabe. And I know I'm giving you what you want right now, but I think I'm being very honest. I've got nothing against the guy. In some ways, the guy's talented. Really, I'll tell you that. I'm not a fan of the guy's annoying laugh.
Mm-hmm.
But in some ways, the guy has, I think, a listenable show from when I've heard it. I'm not going out of my way to pick a fight with this guy because he's insignificant to me. He's a hack like everybody else. He's one of these guys that just wants to be in the big time.
Well, you know what? How I judge it, and you know that he's taken probably more shots at me than he has even at our show. It just doesn't matter. It may have mattered at one point. It doesn't really matter.
And I'll tell you what.
I mean, it doesn't. I wish I could say that really bothered. There was a time when it bothered me. There was a time when it bothered me, and it just doesn't matter. I don't know when that happened. Maybe, you know, who knows? I think there are a lot more things that are important.
Well, I know that in my case, I know, and I hate to say this about somebody like Harvey, Jack Dime, Mr. Phony Baloney.
Mm-hmm.
We used to bust his balls all the time because I genuinely did not like him.
Right.
I know, and I don't like saying this, but I'll tell you, just because it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That guy came to Frida's wedding, Frida's funeral.
Right.
Wedding. He did not have to.
Right.
I thought he was gracious. Mm-hmm. I thought he was heartfelt.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him at the time he's not going to get a free pass on this show. But I really don't see the need now to bust his balls.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's not only because he came to Frida's thing, but it's like, Frida dying puts it all like in perspective. You hear people say, it's like, why am I wasting time? I mean, I know it's funny to tool on DJs, and we will continue to, but really to have like the fights that we used to have, the WWE, it's got to be someone we really hate, like Opie and Anthony. I mean, it's got to be someone, or in this case, Bill O'Reilly, someone that we could really get it worked up about.
Sure.
So just get real.
Somebody that's impacting us directly also.
Yeah.
I mean, in the Opie and Anthony situation, that was impacting us directly at the time.
So
that's what that was about.
My advice to you would be good luck. You know, I keep reading that the Stern replacements, that the audience around the country is listening to everything except the Stern replacements.
Wow.
You know, maybe except here, but I mean, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah.
So good luck. Maybe you'll garner some audience. But for my money, you should be fighting the guys that are on in the morning if they want to fight you. If you want to fight me or if you want to fight Mike,
mm-hmm.
let us know. I mean, we can arrange something off the radio because I can't imagine why you'd really have a hard-on against us.
Mm-hmm.
All I can really think is you're a giant fan. You're jealous of the amount of money that we make. You're jealous of our ratings. And you're jealous of our track record in this market. So I say to Elliot Siegel, from as one broadcaster to another, now I'm being honest as I possibly can. I got nothing against you. Stop using Tom as a pawn when he calls your show. And if you would really like to come down someday, as you say, to be Mr. Tough Guy or whatever you want to do, well, how about tomorrow at 3 o'clock?
Very good.
Because either we'll fight, or you can be a good boy and sit outside and watch how we do the show.
Or both.
And then you can take.
Maybe he can sit outside the show and then we can fight.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, listen, I will only fight with someone who I really got a hard on against. And he's just, you know what he
can't
is?
Can't work it up.
He's, now that I'm trying to think of it, you know what he's Paul Harris with a little more talent.
Oh. Yeah. I think so, yeah.
I'm thinking back to the history of the thousands.
There was never any moment of Paul Harris that I could ever really decipher as anything appreciably funny.
No.
When I listen to that.
So there's
and
a compliment.
I have listened. I wish I got up in the morning to listen to more morning radio, and I will tell you that there have been a couple of occasions where I have actually laughed at Elliot's show. There it is. Boy, should just slay me.
Now, would it kill him to say the same thing, that he listens every day? Because obviously he does, and he knows the bits that we do.
He does, you know, from what I've heard from people that'll say, hey, did you hear this? Did you hear that? It seems like there might be a little bit of an obsession.
Mm. So anyway, that's it. That's a pep talk over about Tom Gavin. Go ahead, have Tom on your show. And again, if it makes, here's the thing. If it makes you feel like you are somehow doing a show that's like our show because you can have a guy on your show who people know from our show,
mm-hmm.
go ahead. Mm-hmm. If it makes you feel better, you know what I mean? But, for instance, let me think of somebody from the Stern Show. I don't know. Who's the guy that calls the Stern Show all the time? Anybody? Does anybody know? I mean, think of some guy who used to call Howard Stern. Oh, I know. He used to have a guy, a drunk guy. I used to think it was a funny bit. A midget guy that was drunk all the time.
Okay. The guy with the little head?
Yeah. All no, right. No, not that guy. But a guy that was drunk. The guy's dead now.
Yeah.
Okay? Oh, that's him. Hank the Dwarf.
Ah.
Okay. Beautiful. I would hear this sometimes on Howard's show and think, I could take it or leave it, but it's not bad. If he got drunk one day and called our show, I wouldn't take the call because I would think, my audience would think, that we were taking Howard's sloppy seconds.
Right. That's exactly what you'd be doing.
And if we had, like, a drunk dwarf call up, it was like, hey, Donna, Mike, and we said, hey, aren't you on Howard all the time? Why don't you tell Howard to stop being such a pussy? Howard wants to fight. Tell him to come on down and fight. I mean, what's up with that?
Mm-hmm.
Really, what's
it
up
is
with that?
Sloppy seconds.
Life's too short.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, we got a stool right outside. If you want to learn how to do a show, that's great. Tomorrow, take as much time talking about us as you like. Please notice that we've spent about 15 minutes on you here. I hope you enjoy it. I hope it meant a lot to you. I hope you got a nice wet spot going.
When are we doing it again?
Mike, probably never. Being as we're leaving in 2008, and you know he knows that.
Right.
You know he's counting down the days.
Mm-hmm.
Probably never. But it's just a good time to bring it up.
Very good.
A good time to bring it up.
Okay.
That we're not open to fighting unless we truly hate you. We don't truly hate you. But if you'd like to learn about radio and you're a big fan, we'll do the same for you as we do for the Make-A-Wish kids and the people from Children's Hospital. Come on down. Watch the show one day.
And if he still wants to fight after that, we will fight him, you know, as much as he wishes.
That's right. Bare knuckles all the way.
Just like the old days. Shirtless.
Except, what exactly would we be fighting about?
I don't know.
Right.
Hey, what DJ's got the biggest balls? I tell you what, man, I'll say anything. Nobody messes with me, man, and my freedom of speech. Woo!
Please, jerk off. You know what I mean? Hello, Don and Mike show. You know, and if you want the truth, why don't you ask Frank Caliendo how much he liked it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say that. I'm getting Frank. I'm outing Frank. Frank just mentioned that he didn't have as good a time on your show as he did on ours.
Well.
Said that he did a couple other radio shows. I said, what ones did you do? He said, oh, I did the guy. Who's the guy with one name? I said, oh, Elliot? He said, yeah, God. I said, Jesus Christ. That guy, all that guy do is, like, make me do voices and 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 voices. He didn't have a good time on your show. The day after he was on our show, he didn't have a good time.
That's a shame.
That's too bad.
I really don't care, but that's a shame.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
That was someone who did not handle the pressure.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, dude.
Hey, I just want you guys to know, I used to listen to Elliot every morning. You guys are 10 times funnier.
Of course we are, but who cares? Yeah. We're not on against him. I mean, if we're going to have a fight with anybody, we should have a fight with Sean Hannity.
I mean, I never even knew who you guys were until maybe 6 months ago.
I won't say that word.
We are funny as excrement, but you can't say that.
I've always enjoyed that. Funny as
I apologize. You guys have a good day.
Thank you, my friend. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. All right. Enough on that. We gave that guy his...
All the websites will be burning now.
Oh, they will. Yeah.
They'll be going... I can actually hear typing. I can hear the clicking of plastic right now.
Did you hear them lay down the gauntlet?
Wow. It's real. It's something getting a fight. Now I'm going to kill you.
They hate each other. They want to rip each other's throats out, old gladiator.
Freaking idiots. Goddamn. Now I don't have time to tell you about my my illegal immigrants and what happened at the house. I'll save that for tomorrow.
Yeah, they're not illegal, Mr. Geronimo.
Oh, yes, they are.
They were at the rally.
They're 100% undocumented. And that's the only way that I'll have it. And I said, I don't care how much fun you have at that rally tomorrow. Don't you forget, you're at my house at 8 a.m. Uh-huh.
Weren't they all wearing American flag bandanas yesterday, though?
They were. A lot of them were pictured on the front page of the newspaper.
It was delightful.
Hello.
Delightful.
Don and Mike show. That's just what we need.
Mm-hmm.
A rally.
Yeah.
With people who are in this country illegally. Thank you. I'm all for that.
Right.
I'm all for that. Let's give them some rights.
Sure.
No.
The American way.
Hell no. It's Moose outside should have told you.
Now, see, you're being a hypocrite.
Country's closed.
One big hypocrite.
You're goddamn right.
What he does. So what you're saying is, as long as they're in your house cleaning your toilets, it's A-OK.
And again, you're right. Other than that,
the American way. Freedom. You know what? Maybe we should have some sort of an amendment to the Constitution. Freedom of hypocrisy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Nah.
Hello. Okay.
Hello.
Yes. Hello, please.
What?
Please.
Come on.
Didn't you guys used to have a little drunken dwarf on your show?
You know what? Technically, we did, but it was not somebody else's dwarf. It was our own dwarf, and he wasn't a drunken dwarf. He was a dwarf who occasionally would get drunk.
Oh, he really only got drunk when you dressed him up in the St. Patrick's Day Lucky
Charms
suit.
That was the drunkest that he got.
He was mainly angry. Scott was mainly pissed
That's
off.
That's right. He wasn't a drunken dwarf. He was Scott the angry dwarf.
And he was a jeweler.
He was a jeweler yes. who had dirty fingernails because he worked with jewelry all
And
day.
My point is that you can find similarities between any radio show,
That's right.
but when we met Scott, who is a real-life guy, we were not going out of our way to find something right. to combat whatever Stern had. And my original point, if you bothered to listen, was if the dwarf from Stern's show
came on our show,
called us,
that's the thing.
We would not use it as an opportunity to say, hey, what's wrong with Howard? How come Howard is such a pussy?
Do you understand now?
I guess so, yes.
What do you mean you guess so? What do you or do you not understand?
Well, I understand your original point, yes. I didn't, but you also said that we wouldn't go out of our way to get a dwarf on our show. And
no, I did not say that. I did not say we...
I was mistaken. He was angry and not drunken.
Right. But the example that was being used would be if we had gotten a call from the guy that was on Stern's show. That was the example we were using.
And Scott,
yeah,
little
sure
people,
right.
you know, in the history of comedy, let me point out to you, little people equals funny.
Midgets are always funny.
If you can get your hands on a dwarf, I recommend highly that you use them for comedic purposes.
And Scott came to us. We didn't say, hey, let's go out and get a dwarf.
And I will go one step further. That I will tell you, I have socialized on a number of occasions with Scott the Dwarf, and he is equally funny if you get the right amount of alcohol in him out in a public setting.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you said when you met his wife?
What did I say?
Is this the little woman?
I know.
No, get out of here.
Bye!
He did, though.
But Don, I really, you know, Rob's not making jokes.
I know he did.
That is big Michael Mera mistake I made.
That's great.
I know, she was not pleased about
it. No,
that.
And I didn't mean anything by it.
No.
Really?
It's so sensitive.
It's like when, you know, a million years ago when I think Merv Griffin asked Jose Feliciano if he watched much television. Jeez, I felt like a jerk.
Hello.
Hey, this must be the little woman. Whoa.
Don Mike, hello.
Oops.
Don Mike.
Hey.
Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy.
Yes, hypocrisy, right?
Hello?
Go ahead.
And he's gone.
That's all I
had
to say.
I hate it when men of the cloth call.
That's the best you can do. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Father.
What about Bridget the Midget?
What about Bridget the Midget?
She was on Stern before you.
No, Bridget the Midget, again, now, for you radiophiles out there, you should know, the name Bridget the Midget was not originated by Howard Stern. While Howard Stern may have had a woman on his show known as Bridget the Midget, pretty much any time any disc jockey has a woman, a caller, a regular, a guest as Bridget.
That's a radio thing.
You call her Bridget the Midget.
That goes back seriously 35, 45 years
ago. And if you look at the pictures of our Bridget, who was the girl with the dirty feet, she was not a midget.
No.
And we never alluded to the fact. It was just a goofy name.
Now, I know that Howard's Bridget the Midget was a real midget who was a porn star, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
I don't know. Anything else, Perry Mason? Or did you just
long
hang
gone.
Up?
They hang up.
Mind made up before he called.
People are afraid to stay in the arena.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Hello, one more. Don and Mike Show. Hello. Ah, yes. Welcome to Radio Truth
This is
Serum.
The type of calls you get when we get on this subject.
Hello.
When you're talking about any other disc jockeys, the people are like, and they're so excited.
They just can't keep it in. Hello.
Hey, fellas. Hey, did you see Paul Abdul on Jay Leno last night?
Oh, thanks for stopping the show.
No, we're Letterman people.
Yeah.
Don't turn your radio up! Come on, what is the deal?
Don't turn the radio up!
The radio's not on.
No, I just heard it!
We heard it.
I just heard it again!
It's not on now.
Leno.
It was on!
Leno, what
okay,
do you
he's
expect?
A Leno
right, he's a Leno watcher.
Leno
flashing lights. Leno watchers.
How... Was she on the
show.
Was there anything particularly noteworthy that she did or said on Leno?
Basically, she was drunk. And I know you all discussed the fact that she's a little messed up a lot of the times, and last night she was extremely drunk.
And that's
hey, I'm trying to contribute, and I failed, so I will bail.
There he goes.
Thank you.
All right.
From the back room.
John has sent this note. Yanni says we are heading for a full moon.
Yes, that's true. Okay. Almost there.
Right. Really? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I was just wondering if Buzz has ever had sex with a midget.
That's a good question.
I haven't. Don has.
Excellent. I highly recommend it.
I have. I did it for money. Thank you.
Who do you know?
Bye-bye.
Buzz hasn't. Don has. I will.
Joe Ardinger, man among men, went out today.
Tonight.
To the Washington Nationals. To the Washington Nationals opening game.
Yes, the Washington Nationals. The great big home opener in D.C. with nobody there.
That's right, with 20,000 empty seats. We sent Joe out to see what was happening with Joe Baseball.
Right.
So we'll hear the Joe Moes at the Nationals game. And now, see, folks, you got to get up to speed.
Huh?
When we have one of these behind-the-scenes chats, you got to jump in right away.
Yeah.
Right now, I see every line is dropping.
Too late.
And Joe is sending me instant messages that this is all people are calling about.
Right.
So long, stragglers.
You
missed your chance.
You blew it, stragglers.
You blew it. Where's that
Forget
tape?
About it.
Where's that tape? Can you find that one?
That's been a while.
That's from Copland.
Copland starring Robert De Niro and Sylvester Stallone.
Mr. Sheriff, I'm really sorry to have awoken you from your slumber, but it's over.
You blew it.
Hands are tied now. You shut me down.
I offered you a chance when we could have done something, and you blew it.
You blew it.
He's mentally retarded.
Tom, we'll be right back with Joe, who's also MR.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Donovan back to pass. He's got a man open in the end zone. It's Joe Ardinger. The pass is there, and he drops the ball. And the Eagles do not win the Super Bowl. And as we review this Super Bowl, it was all Joe Ardinger's fault.
The Don and Mike Show. They have an eye for the unexpected. Don and Mike.
Joe. All right, time for Joe in baseball. Let me see. You know, people are listening to the show. The Washington Nationals called. Capacity at RFK Stadium is 46,382.
Okay.
Their announced official attendance today is 40,500. Meaning that if you believe the Nationals, who just called to yell at us, they had 6,000 seats that were empty at the stadium today. I think earlier I had said 20,000 people were there. The more I think about it, I was looking on TV with Mike. I bet 30,000 were there.
Okay.
But I urge you,
impossible to tell.
I urge you tonight to watch baseball tonight and just check out the number of empty seats.
It's based on tickets sold, that number that they gave you.
Sure.
It's based on tickets sold. And as I said at the beginning of the show, this is not a ticket sold issue as much as a no-show issue.
But I had also heard that there was like between 9 and 18,000 tickets that had been unsold. Because I know today, even this morning when they were hyping the thing on TV, they were saying great seats are still available.
Still available.
Still available.
And you and I were watching the game in the office.
And there was a lot of goddamn empty orange seats.
Big blocks of orange seats. Right?
I believe there's about 15,000 to 18,000 people in the bathroom at any time.
You're probably right.
Anyway.
There are a lot of people that went to the game. I mean, a lot of people that didn't. So we will find out.
But my point is, whether it's 6,000 people or whether it's, as I think, 16,000 people, on opening day,
it's got to be a sellout.
If you don't have a fanny, if you don't have an ass in every single seat,
right,
that's not a winning proposition.
That's not good enough. I mean, I'm thick enough.
On opening day, they sell out in Tampa Bay.
Right.
On opening day, they sell out everywhere.
Exactly.
Except here. So anyway, thank you for listening, Washington Nationals. 46,000 capacity. They say there were 40,000. I wouldn't be calling a radio show to publicize that fact if I was them. I wouldn't be calling a show to say, hey, make sure that the guys mention that there were 6,000 less people that the place holds on opening day.
And, you know, we got a call from that lady with the color guard or whatever, the unfurling of the flag, said it looked like there weren't a lot of people.
Well, bathroom.
Anyway, that music means it's time for Joe here.
It's time for another edition of Joe Moe's Joe Artinger, Man on the Street.
Regardless of how it looked on TV or what we heard, it was opening day today.
We certainly had our correspondent down there.
We did. We sent Joe down. Hey, Joe.
We had our man about town.
You were there. Now, before we start playing your interviews with the baseball fans you talked to today, I know we may have asked you this before, but what was your answer about the crowd?
I don't recall.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Didn't he have an answer earlier in the show?
Yeah, I think he had a number, I thought.
Well, oh, yeah, there were 9,000 unsold tickets. And there were scores of scalpers down there with fistfuls.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. Scores. Thank you. Scores of them.
Scores.
Scores of them.
He was out early today.
All right. So here we go. Here is Joe now. Let's start the Joe Moe's.
Joe Moe's.
Joe Man on the Street interviews. Yeah. Is this machine number one?
Yeah.
Here we go.
I don't. What are we doing now?
We're hearing. Well, Mike, you know what we're doing. We're.
Joe Moe's.
I don't recall.
It'll come back to you. Joe Moe's.
Remember, this is the beginning of the tape with his telephone going off.
The slow phone. Joe Moe's.
We still wait for Joe's first interview.
That was me calling him.
You were calling him, Rob?
Yes. Where are you?
Joe.
Get down there. Get her done.
Joe.
Get her done.
Here we go.
Hello. May I ask you a few questions taped for the internet and broadcast on CBS Radio?
Sure.
Thank you. And on behalf of the NBA, welcome to opening day at FedEx Field. Are you excited?
Absolutely.
What about the designated hitter? Shouldn't he be allowed to drink during the game if he wants?
Why not?
How do you feel about Tom Sizemore as Pete Rose in the ESPN motion picture?
That doesn't matter to me.
Will you be...
Thank you for moving my question up, though.
Done and done.
Gave it that nice number two spot.
Very good.
Thank you, Rob.
Cheering and yelling, go Nats today?
Absolutely.
Let me hear you.
Go Nats.
Louder.
Go Nats.
Can you smell my breath?
No.
Do you have any advice for team owner Dan Snyder?
None.
Dick Cheney is throwing out today's first pitch. Does that frighten you?
A little bit.
Explain.
Well, hopefully he won't keel over and have a heart attack.
So. Yeah.
Would you rather apply the cream or the clear to Barry Bonds?
Both.
Please explain.
Just get him out of here.
I like please explain. Incidentally, I'm a huge fan of please explain because people will not work any harder than they have to.
We have finally figured that you have to follow up.
That's right.
You can't give them a yes or a no.
No.
It has
you can't
to be
say, no problem to me.
That's right.
Please explain.
How do you feel about that?
That's your thing.
Do you like Mayor Williams' idea of the first underground stadium?
I haven't heard of it, but sure, why not?
Do you know why the RFK hot dogs taste like copper?
No, I don't.
How about a guess?
I have no clue.
How do you react when Carl Yastrzemski came out of the closet?
Pretty surprised.
Quick.
Hold on, I just said pretty surprised.
That's you a like, good read, though.
You like to read on that one?
Kind of mixed up tenses, didn't he?
How do you react when he comes out?
But the guy said he was surprised. Yes, the fag.
Didn't know.
What does RFK stand for?
Robert F. Kennedy.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Would you like to give me my B12 shot? I'll have to de-pants, of course.
Maybe next time.
How many points for a home run?
Zero.
What word does this spell? B-A... S-E-B, A-L-L.
Baseball.
Do you smell number one?
No.
I do, everywhere. Later on, do you want to go over to the armory and have a beer with me?
Maybe next time.
Now let's you and me sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh, here we go.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Come on. Take me out to the ball game. Really? Take me out to the crowd. Thanks, now beat it.
Joe Moe.
Hello, may I ask you a few questions, say, for broadcast?
Joe.
Joe?
Joe.
Hello, may I ask you a few questions, say, for the internet and broadcast on CBS Radio?
Okay.
Thank you. Are you, sorry. On behalf of the NBA, welcome to opening day at FedEx Field. Are you excited?
Take two.
Yeah, be okay.
What about the...
No, you had the wrong field.
Are you sure?
Yes. Yeah. Right, now, hold on. Here's the first guy who's giving us the reaction we want. Right. Joe has just said, on behalf of the NBA, right, not baseball, right, welcome to opening day at FedEx Field, which is the football stadium.
And yeah.
The guy finally just said...
He threw two of them, the NBA and FedEx Field, and this guy's caught him.
And he right. said, you got the wrong place.
Yep.
They all look the same to me. What about the designated hitter? Shouldn't he be allowed to drink during the game if he wants?
No.
Huh.
How did you feel about Tom Sizemore as Pete Rose in that ESPN motion picture?
I didn't see it.
Will you be cheering and yelling "Go Nabs" today?
Now, wasn't it supposed to be "Go Nads"?
Nads.
Joe said that. Yeah.
He said it. No, he said it a little more natty than he did the last.
I thought it was Nat, not Nad. But it should have been Nad.
The
not
first
Nat.
Time he said Nads.
Okay.
Probably. Let me hear you. Go louder. Go. All right. Can you smell my breath?
No.
Do you have any advice for team owner Dan Snyder?
No. You're doing good. Doing good with Joe now.
Doing good.
Dick Cheney is throwing out today's first.
Again,
minimal effort.
Football. The guy knew that Dan Snyder's not the owner of the baseball
team. But he chooses just to move it. He's doing right. good with Joe.
Pitch. Does that frighten you?
No.
Explain.
Oh, Cheney.
You're only going to carry a gun.
Would you rather apply the cream or the clear to Barry Bonds?
No comment.
Please explain.
No yeah. comment.
I like to explain after no comment.
I am an illegal immigrant. How do you feel about that?
Long you walk, stay out of trouble.
Do you like Mayor Williams'
wow.
idea?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And your problem with the answer was?
I have no idea.
I know. And long you stay
out of trouble.
Trouble.
Of the world's first underground stadium?
No.
Do you know why the RFK hot dogs taste like copper?
Probably came out of the Anacostia River.
How did you react when Carl
our first someone
came
attempting
out of the
comedy.
Yeah.
That's the first one.
And, of course, you know, just let me give you some background here so you know where we're going, okay? Just in case you don't follow this carefully crafted comedy.
It is.
NBA, no, it's MLB.
Right.
FedEx Field, no, it's RFK Stadium.
Right.
Designated hitter, of course, cannot drink during the game. Will you yell "Go Nads"? Advice for Dan Snyder, he doesn't really own the team. Dick Cheney's throwing out the pitches. Does that frighten you? Then we say, please explain. I'm an illegal immigrant. How do you feel about that? What about the mayor's idea to make it the first underground stadium? Of course, that's BS, but right. people just keep asking. Why do the RFK hot dogs taste like copper? Well, the answer is, copper is the taste of blood.
Right.
And we're waiting for anybody, and then...
What Joe, it is, this is a test of listening and processing. Right. Joe, that's what this really is.
Yeah. Joe then is supposed to ask him, how about a guess? Then the next question is, how did you react when Carl Yastrzemski came out of the closet?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then Joe says,
quick. Yeah, it's not a fang. Huh?
And
that's an obvious joke.
Joe says, quick, Don. What does RFK stand for? And no matter what you say, Joe is supposed to say, I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Right.
Then it's, would you like to give me my B12 shot?
Right.
I'll have to de-pants, of course.
Mm-hmm.
How many points for a home run? What is B-A-S-E? B-A-L-L spell? When they say baseball, Joe is just supposed to go, we've written it down. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We wrote UH-H. H-U-H.
That's there you go.
Then it's, do you smell number one? And then Joe says, I do everywhere.
Right.
He says, do you want to go to the Armory and have a beer with me? The Armory is this awful place by the baseball stadium.
I don't think they even have a bar.
No bar.
Maybe they do, though.
And then it's, sing, take me out to the ball game. See, it's set up for hilarity.
Right. It's also, I like to think of it as a test. We send a young man down there with an easy way about him to pepper these individuals with questions that if they listen carefully, they will be able to contradict him.
Right away, from the very beginning, he should say, hold on a second.
Hey, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. What do you mean the NBA? Why is the NBA, the National Basketball Association,
right.
welcoming me to FedEx Field when I'm at Robert F. Kennedy Stadium?
Right.
Joe Moe.
But you'll be amazed to know that most people do not tax themselves that
right.
way.
These great jokes go right over their heads.
Absolutely.
Upper. Probably came out of the Anacostia River.
How did you react when Carl Yastrzemski came out of the closet?
The what?
Carl Yastrzemski came out of the closet.
That'd be an old one.
You think, what? He does, you think he doesn't know what it means?
No, he doesn't. Probably doesn't know.
That must be it.
Quick, what does RFK stand for?
Bobby Kennedy.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Would you like to give me my B12 shot?
No.
I'll have to de-pants, of course.
Why?
How many points for a home run?
One.
What word does this spell? B-A-S-E-B-A-L-L.
Bubble?
Uh-huh.
Bubble. That's like Tom. Bubble.
Either Bubba or...
He's mentally retarded.
Can you back it up a little bit? Because that was very, mm-hmm. very Tom Gavin-ish.
Sounded like Bubble.
Okay, so you know at home, home viewers, the word is baseball. Baseball. The word is baseball.
LL. Oh. Bubba?
Uh-huh. Bubba.
Do you smell number one?
Nope.
I do. Everywhere.
Oh, yeah, we need a Anacostia River. You like
it. Yeah.
You're back to that joke. Do you want to go over to the armory with me and have a beer?
No, thank you.
Huh.
Now let's sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Take me out to the ball game.
Oh,
take me out to the ground.
Strangely, they're not supposed to join in. He enjoyed his interview.
I hope that don't go on. Oh, that radio.
Joe's made a friend.
Hello. May I ask you a few questions taped for internet and broadcast on CBS Radio?
He's gone to his British accent.
Yeah. He's gone.
Has to have a
He's gone to the British accent.
That doubles the comedy.
Makes it much richer.
Hold on a second. Call him. It's more textured, Rob.
Joe.
Much richer.
Better layering.
I love that. I love
Hello.
That. Now you didn't. You know, way to go, Joe. We didn't even tell you to bring out that miraculous British accent.
Well, I know it's caught your fancy.
All right, you big dummy. We'll hear more of your tapes in a minute.
Very well then.
Hey, Joe.
Yes. He's mentally retarded.
Take us to break in your British accent, please.
Don and Mike Show, go to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show. JFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank. Whenever I'm in Washington, I listen to the Joe Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Buzz.
Try to understand. Try to understand. Try to understand. They are magic men. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I thought they sang there.
Wait, just a theme.
Oh, boy. Well, we can just take that whole thing from the top, then. I was positive right there with Winchester Cathedral.
They go through a whole bridge before they...
Oh,
first the whistle.
Right,
this is the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank. Whenever I'm in Washington, I listen to the Joe Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
Try to understand. Try to understand. Try to understand. They are magic men. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
There you go. This is good Joe music. Let me give you a quick update on that. Thank God for the internet. As you know, we're not heard anywhere in America.
I say that every day. Thank
we
God.
We are heard in... Thank God. We're heard in 29 cities. One of those cities is not the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, who I was talking about before, was listening on the internet before.
Okay.
So I picked up the messages at home. No, it's cool.
Okay, good.
I called her and she just told me I'm a big stupid jerk. But she said it in a very nice way.
Yeah, she said it in a loving, daughterly way.
Yes, she said, you know... Boy, you are sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
You do overreact.
Right.
You are. So anyway, things are cool with her.
Good.
And when my other kid called, his only news was that he got a 75 on a test,
mm-hmm.
which is not the best.
Right. You know what I used to call that at American University?
What's that?
Party time.
Yeah. And then the other bit of news that he just wanted to just kind of throw in. He said, so Dad, I got a 75 on that, but no need to worry because I still got a good grade in that class. And also I wanted to tell you that he got him a 75.
He got a 75.
As Jimmy Johnson would say.
And a little girl told him to hope for a snow day.
So he says, I got a 75, but don't worry, my grade's going to be... I'm like, okay, why do you call me with this during the show? Call me tonight. This is during a commercial set. And he said, how much time is left in the commercials?
Yeah.
And I said, about 2 minutes. And he said, Okay. Well, anyway, did you see... No, hold on, because he's getting to a point here.
Uh-huh.
Here's what's happening. There's 2 minutes left in the commercials. I'm talking to my son during the commercial.
Right.
He called me from college. Allegedly to tell me that he got a not great grade.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, so how much time was left in the commercial? About 2 minutes.
Yeah.
He says, do you have Sports Illustrated at home? I said, yeah. He said, hey, did you see Charlie Whitehurst got a full-page picture in there? It's a quarterback at Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, that's interesting. I'll have to look at it when I get home. Okay, is that it? He said, oh, yeah, one more thing I want to tell you. The front of the car. The headlight still works, and the bumper is still on it. I think it's okay. I'm not going to turn it into insurance. How much time is left in your commercial set?
So he strategically...
Of course!
Uh-huh. He was in a car accident?
No, he just ran his car into some wall.
So he did a little damage to the car, but it's drivable.
Yeah, it's drivable.
Back time to the bad news.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He managed to get it, uh-huh. And he filled time until he found out right. that...
Sorry, you gotta go, Dad. Bye!
Yeah.
Perfect back time. It comes to him naturally, you know.
So anyway, that's up with both of my kids. Now, Joe, we got limited time here to hear of Joe...
Yes.
How did it go out there today? Are we hearing the best of what you had to offer? Take your time answering.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then let's...
All right, Ben.
Let's go with another one.
Yeah, now, you had, when we last left Joe, he had switched to his British accent.
Yeah,
which was perfect timing.
All right, back at RFK for opening day with the Washington Nationals.
It's time for another edition of Joe Moe's. Joe Artinger, man on the street.
Here we go.
Hello. May I ask you a few questions for internet and broadcast on CBS Radio?
Aye.
Thank you. And on behalf of the NBA and opening day at FedEx Field, are you excited?
Sure, man. The Nationals are back.
What about the designated hitter? Shouldn't he be allowed to drink during the game if he won't?
Why not?
How did you feel about Tom Sizemore's Pete Rose in that ESPN motion picture?
I didn't watch it. I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame.
Will you be cheering and yelling Go Nads today?
Yes.
Let me hear you. Go Nads! Louder! Go Nads! Can you smell my breath?
No.
Do you have any advice for team owner Dan Snyder?
Yeah, I didn't renew my Redskins ticket this year. He's too expensive.
All right, now that's another one where he's being let off the hook.
Yeah. Yes, because...
And that's frustrating.
Another guy has figured out that we're not talking about...
He knows the Redskins and just seamlessly makes the transition.
Okay.
Yeah, that disappoints you as much as it disappoints me.
Who wrote that one?
I think Buzz wrote it.
That's right.
Oh, no, that means you wrote it, didn't you?
You know what I should have written?
What?
Nationals team owner Dan Snyder.
Yeah, well, live and learn.
Uh-huh. That's right. Next time,
what? Live and learn. Live and learn. Because remember, you're not getting the killer answers like I'm getting about how the RFK hot dogs taste like copper.
And that smell my breath question.
Oh, my God. That was yours, right?
I believe so.
And it's a good one. And it's a good one, Mike.
No, thanks, Don.
Work it out.
People like
it. Dick Cheney has thrown out today's first pitch. Does that frighten you?
As long as he doesn't have a gun.
This might be
a
repeat.
Would you rather apply the cream or the clear to Barry Bonds?
This accent?
He probably takes both.
Please explain.
Well, I think he's obviously on steroids.
I am an illegal immigrant. How do you feel about that?
Why aren't you marching?
Do you like Mayor Williams' idea of the world's first underground stadium?
Underground stadium? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Do you know why the RFK hot dogs taste like copper?
Like what?
Copper.
No.
How about a guess?
I have no idea.
How did you react when Carl Yastrzemski came out of the closet?
I didn't know Carl Yastrzemski came out of the closet.
Quick, what does RFK stand for?
Robert F. Kennedy.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
That's my favorite.
Would you like to give me my B12 shot?
No.
I'll have to depend, of course.
No.
How many points for a home run?
One run.
What does this word spell? B-A-S-E-B-A-L-L.
Baseball.
Uh-huh. Do you smell number one?
No.
I do, everywhere. Later on, do you want to go over to the armory and have a pint with me?
Yeah. Why not?
Now let's me and you sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Okay.
Take me out to the ball game. Thanks. Now beat it.
Okay, one more. Let's hear one more.
Thanks for listening to Joe Mo.
Announcer,
don't kill the announcer.
Question safe for the internet and broadcast on CBS Radio.
Oh, and he dropped the British accent.
He's very versatile. He's like Caliendo that way.
As fast as it came, it went.
He can switch. He can, like, in midstream, he can switch it.
Joe Caliendo. Forget it, JB. I'm halfway home. I can't work with Terry.
Oh, God.
How we brought a bullhorn in. I have high blood pressure. Jim and Barbary. This is Arger here.
All right, here's Joe. One more.
Sure. Thank you. And on behalf of the NBA, welcome to opening day at FedEx Field. Are you excited?
FedEx Field?
We have
RFK.
What about the designated hitter?
Right now, I like this guy already. Mm-hmm.
This is the reaction.
This guy's not going to take any crap.
This is the reaction we're looking for.
FedEx Field, RFK, come on. What are you doing?
Okay, let's hear if this guy pays off now.
Shouldn't he be allowed to drink during the game if he wants?
The designated hitter.
Yeah. How did you feel about Tom Sizemore as Pete Rose in that ESPN motion picture?
I didn't see that, so I couldn't tell you.
Will you be cheering and yelling, "Go Nets" today?
Yes.
Let me hear you. Yes, go Nets. Louder. Go Nets.
The guy says Nets, and Joe is, again, not saying Nads.
Right, and I'm hearing some sort of accent. And it's not the British accent coming from Joe. This is his subject. I believe he may be interviewing Antonio Banderas.
Can you smell my breath?
No.
Do you have any advice for team owner Dan Snyder?
No comment.
Dick Cheney is throwing out today's first pitch. Does that frighten you?
Possibly.
Explain.
No comment.
Now, Rob has identified what annoys Rob, and it might annoy me, too. This is the guy who is pretending he's smart.
That's right.
Which is a bigger crime than just being an idiot.
That's right.
Possibly. No comment.
No comment. No comment.
We ambush these people. We ambush these people, and then we just scrutinize them.
Apply the cream or the clear to Barry Bonds?
Neither.
Please explain.
No comment.
I am.
Okay. He had potential, and he's just.
Christ, how come this guy can't? This guy can't get hit by the foul ball. In the head.
Joe, right now, should switch to the British accent.
Illegal immigrant. How do you feel about that?
He's an illegal immigrant. Welcome to America.
Do you like Mayor Williams' idea of the world's first underground stadium?
Yeah.
Do you know why the RFK hot dog tastes like copper?
No comment.
Okay. How about a guess?
Possibly.
It has four little feet.
How did you react when Carl Yastrzemski came out of the closet?
Shocked. Robert F. Kennedy Memorial Stadium.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Would you like to give me my B12 shot? I'll have to de-pants, of course.
No.
How many points for a home run?
Two.
What word do you spell? B-A-S-E-B-A-L-L.
Baseball.
Uh-huh. Do you smell number one?
No.
I do, everywhere. Later on, do you want to go over to the armory and have a beer with me?
Sure, if you're buying.
Now, let's you and me sing
first
Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd.
Now, this he doesn't say no comment to.
Right. Everybody likes to sing.
Possibly.
Hello, and my question taped for the internet and broadcast on CBS Radio.
No, I don't want to hear anymore.
Thank you. On behalf of the NBA,
it's a chicky poo.
FedEx Field, are you excited?
Sure are.
Either here
sure are?
Here. Hi, Joe.
Did she say sure are?
She did.
Hi, Joey.
The only thing that really makes any of the other ones different is at the end of the day, I guess the sun was getting to me, and we sang the whole baseball song, the whole Take Me Out, all the way through.
Wish we had time.
Let's play that.
So what you're telling me is basically all of these are the same then.
Well, sure.
And, okay, thank you. Nothing else worth hearing? We've heard the gold.
The lady here that we're listening to right now, the lady have anything interesting to say?
She's just jolly.
She's jolly.
And jolly fat girl.
What do you mean, fat? Say it. She was fat.
Yeah, okay. And quite possibly...
Challenged?
No, batting for the other team.
Oh, lesbian.
Oh,
possibly.
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 All right, Joe. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
But it is worth hearing the whole rendition.
of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Perhaps right. JoeHardinger.com.
Why'd you go to the last track
right.
and see if you can find it. And did we open the thing up? We opened the thing up already. Here we
In
go.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
Buzz, what are your lead stories tonight on News and Comments?
Tonight, NASA puts on a light show for ye. Sometimes a DNA test is your friend, and naturally, some gay news.
Oh, okay. All right,
naturally, possibly.
What does RFK stand for?
Robert Francis Kennedy.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. Would you like to give me my B12 shot? I'll have to depants, of course.
This is the last one Joe said.
Just stick with the, you know what.
How many points for a home run?
This guy won't sing with me. You'll have to go back a little further.
Joe, this is the last cut on the tape.
Well, just rewind it to the end of the last, before the second to the
yeah,
last.
Yeah, Don. Just that one.
Please.
It'll be worth it.
Okay.
It's your news, on here, bud.
I was being facetious.
Try this.
Oh. Sure.
Thank you, and on beep, 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 beep,
beep. Is that it?
I'll speak in my British accent until he gets it queued up.
I wish it went faster.
Uh-huh. Do you smell number one?
No.
I do.
Is this
everywhere.
The guy?
Later on, do you want to go over to the armory with me and have a beer?
No, that's all right.
Now let's you and me sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. Take me out to the ball game.
Oh, I can't sing.
Come on.
No singing.
Thanks. Now beat it.
Oh, he didn't sing either.
Hey,
what I tell you? Stay tuned for news
the other
and comments coming
one.
Up on the Don and Mike Show.
I think Rob had the right answer.
You know what I wanted to hear?
JoeHardinger.com.
What I wanted to hear on this?
What?
Don and Mike to break.
You got it, Mike.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Right.
Pinch hitting for Lou Brock, Don and Mike.
Somebody, you know what, that's funny. Now, here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Would the space program be more interesting to you if NASA blew something up?
Yeah.
You put on a little light show, you know, one where nobody gets hurt.
Yes.
Well, NASA wants to crash a spacecraft into a crater on the moon, and that's what will happen 2 years from now. NASA says the explosion will be visible from the Earth.
That's fair. Is that it?
Astronomic contract. Equipment will then analyze the dust and debris. That would be followed by the arrival of a probe to begin mapping the moon.
Oh, the arrival of a probe. I've been, I know I've been teasing our listening audience, but, on the home front, I've been waiting for that for quite some time.
The arrival of the probe.
Mike is very into his strap-on.
Yeah, they haven't purchased it yet, but I'm into the idea.
Don't you have one on loaner?
No. You don't do that.
No.
You don't go used.
You can buy them.
Unless it's from a really close friend.
It's called reconditioned.
Reconditioned?
I thought you just used it like a wooden spoon.
Well, that's practice. Leading up to the big thing.
It's like being with everyone the strap-on's ever been with.
Waiting for the probe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
NASA.
Say hi to my old friend, the strap-on.
Yes, Greg.
He likes you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Talk to him, please.
Okay. Hi.
Ah, very nice.
My pleasure.
Say that again. Louder and slower.
I like you, strap-on.
Good evening. I'm Hootie Johnson, chairman of Augusta National Golf Club, and we sure hope you enjoyed the Masters tournament.
Goodbye.
Golf Club.
That, would you please pick up a strap-on? Hi, Buzz.
Hi. NASA says...
Hey, what happened to your microphone?
Now what's happened? There we go. All I had to do was hit it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's wrong with me. I should have known that.
That's like, I can't tell you how many times Ross has said to me, we're talking about, well, mainly about his wife.
Sometimes my kid.
Same thing.
If you want to get things to work, hit them.
All I had to do was hit it.
NASA says all of this, the explosion on the moon, everything, all part of the preparation to send even more robots and humans back to the moon.
Robot.
Former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling took the stand yesterday in his trial for fraud and conspiracy, and he told the jury, quote, I am absolutely innocent. Skilling insists he left the company having no idea how it was about to go under and take its investors down with it.
Right.
He says he was leaving because he was burned out after 11 years, especially since the company's stock prices were starting to fall. Skilling says he's the victim of a witch hunt the hunt that began when people started losing their life savings. Do I sound like I'm fading out?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I think so, too. Goodbye. iFungus.
Was that a rhetorical question, or was that about the
it's about the equipment. It's just getting softer.
Oh, you mean fading out? You think he was speaking about his life again?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Fading away, the candle burning bright.
Because, you know, I still have this tape.
I'm not dead yet.
Remember, because when he was sick recently, we had that. We had the
He's
whole...
gone now.
I'm not dead yet.
It's not working at all now. Do you want to hit it again?
Come on, mean it.
Hit it again.
Ah, there we go.
No, but you're not following up. That's why it's not completely...
Well, it's steel. It hurts to hit it.
Oh, okay.
It hurts my hand.
Do you want to go over and help him?
I can.
Okay. Well, it's working now.
Let the big hitter.
But no, but now he'll break it.
But Ned, you still don't sound like you're back.
I don't?
Well, now you sound better.
Well, I thought it sounded pretty good.
Sounds a little fading.
It'll fade again. It gets muddy and
what are you doing?
Softer.
Did you spill something over there?
All right, huh? Rob,
did you spill?
You, Mister. Hello, we're over here. What's going on? You're over there like doing janitorial work over there.
There's a slight mess on my side of the room.
I didn't know that. I thought mess. Was that the mess that was the earlier?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I didn't know what's going on.
Okay. See a doctor.
I got a problem with BC.
Uh-huh. With what?
Oh, BC.
Bladder control.
Right, also the other BC.
That's oh. Right.
Bowel control.
I'm so. Oh, yeah, okay.
BNBC.
Uh-huh.
BBC.
I smell it everywhere.
BBC 1.
Look at Robin back above.
BBC 2.
All right,
go ahead, Rob. Buzz, say something now. Let's hear how your microphone sounds.
Eye fungus. My next
still
topic
sound quite
is
right.
Eye fungus.
You just want Rob to pound on that board over there, on that piece of electronics. I think he sounds fine now.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay.
Buzz?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, because, Mike, here's the thing.
Yeah.
If Rob goes over there
and pounds on it, he might break it altogether.
And then you know what that means?
What?
That means Buzz comes in this room and sits next to you.
I think he sounds fine.
Yeah. Let's wait till it breaks and see what happens.
All right, very good.
Eye fungus. There have been a string of cases recently from Colorado to Florida and 15 other states.
Didn't you have that once?
I had,
pink eye.
Yeah, it was epidemic.
That's what you get when you scratch your butt in your eye.
Epidemic keratosis conjunctivitis is what
and
I
you
had.
You got it from like a, you thought it was a rest stop.
A door handle at a rest stop in Kansas.
E.
Stupid girl.
Pink Eye. Oh, that's a new song by Pink.
I love that song.
You like that?
She's got a big pink eye.
Uh-huh. She sure does.
You know that.
And you know what you can attribute that to?
Bleach. And lots of it.
Uh-huh.
Big pink eye.
So there have been
a
string of cases of eye fungus across the country, especially for contact lens wearers.
Women do that now, you know. Did you know that?
Oh, the bleaching?
Yeah.
Yeah, up front and around back.
Not around here.
If only. The fungus is called fusarium, and it can blind you. One victim says it feels like lightning hit your eye. A lady with permanent scars says she doesn't mind being back in glasses.
What's that fungus called?
Fusarium.
From Pfizer. We introduce fusarium. It'll make a butterfly fly across your television screen.
Ask your doctor.
Ask your doctor about fusarium.
You may get painful diarrhea. Blood may come out of your ears, and your fingers may fall off.
Women who are pregnant or nursing should not try fusarium.
And after 4 hours, contact a doctor. Doctors are not sure how this eye fungus is spreading. Now, Bausch & Lomb has stopped shipments of its Moisture Lock contact solution after some of its customers reported serious eye infections.
I don't need to order mushrooms on my steak. I can just pick my eye.
We may have found the source.
Mm-hmm.
George Michael.
Sometimes a DNA test can be your best friend. The 46 white members of the Duke University lacrosse team may have been saved by this test. Since a stripper says some of them gang raped her, their lawyer, the player's lawyer, says the DNA test cleared his clients along with photographs that show she was already injured before she got to the lacrosse team.
As much as I would love that story to be true.
You'd like these guys to be innocent?
Just because something bad happened. No, just because something bad would finally happen to Duke University.
Right.
Really, if they were smart... And they used a condom.
Right.
You know, not that, you know, that's an awful thing to say. You know, if you're going to, listen, if you're going to attack a woman...
When committing rape. Right.
If you're going to commit rape...
Right. With Bobby Knight would say.
With a bunch of lacrosse players.
Mm-hmm. Well, did they say that? Was that brought up by like the prosecuting attorney?
Yes, yeah. The
did they say, well, of course, if they used a
the
condom...
The prosecutor said if they use a rubber, of course there'd be no DNA.
Well, and you can certainly do the attack and use a rubber at the same time, especially if you're trying to get some she doesn't want to, but you want to be protected.
But there are also fingernails under the fingernails, hair and fiber samples of other sorts, and there would be residue from the lubricant that is on the condom when it's new. And so far, there at least, there's been no match of any of that. Their lawyer, the player's lawyer, says there's no latex residue from the condom. So where goes that theory?
Okay.
Well, like you said, or like Don said, the prosecutor says this ain't over yet. He's not letting go of the case, even with these DNA results and with the photographs. Meanwhile, the team's season has been canceled, and their coaches resigned because of the scandal.
You know, and again, like everything in this country, it comes down to race. That you've got, I saw the rally down there with the, you know, they got the old school black Baptist minister who stands in for, you know, this is an outrage, and Jesse Jackson's got to come down and put his big stupid face into the middle of all of this stuff. I don't know, you know, that's the thing that about Duke. I don't know if well, hell, I've been to the Carolinas. I know people are racist down there. Who's kidding who?
Right.
They're full of racists down there.
But, you know, it doesn't matter. If there is an unjust accusation, it's an unjust accusation. So you got to follow this one all the way.
Wouldn't it be nice for something bad to happen to Duke? I mean, because don't you always hear, like, hey, there's Coach K, and I tell you what, while the football team might stink, the basketball team is great, and, you know, one thing about these kids at Duke... They come to get an education.
Yeah. I mean, it is the...
I mean, aren't you sick of hearing that crap?
The school on the mountain.
Wouldn't you love for them to be...
Knock them down a peg?
Wouldn't you love for them to be put in the same class as... Bayou! Because every time you see some goddamn football player, they're like, yeah, this. Here's so-and-so from... Bayou! Meanwhile, you know, they're saying, like, again today in Miami, 36 members of the Miami Hurricanes arrested for rape, pillaging, shoplifting, killing, grabbing. And you see all the guys on TV going, yeah, Bayou!
Uh-huh.
I mean, they're proud of that.
But Duke does not have that reputation.
They do not.
Until now.
You know who's a graduate of Duke?
Ooh.
Sonny Jurgensen.
Oh, that's right. Back in the day.
Wow. Now I know they're a racist school.
Oh, God!
So what are you waiting for? Keep practicing. I'm hungry.
Right, I know.
Didn't play lacrosse.
Stop it. No, he wasn't a lacrosse player.
I know. God, but you ever been spending time with Sonny?
Stop
Edward
it.
This,
oh,
Edward
yeah, right,
that.
Right. Mr. Geronimo's comments are meant purely for comedic value.
Let me tell you how it was like back in the when George Preston Marshall owned the team. We only had one college fella on the team.
Right.
Bobby Mitchell.
Stop it.
Where's Hootie Johnson?
After the break, an old pervert tries a new defense.
Oh, I'm thinking it could be Sonny again.
Oh, stop it.
My God.
He's your friend. You make jokes.
He was my friend.
You make jokes.
All right, Buzz, we'll be right back.
Thank you.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yeah.
Radio at the lowest price possible, consistent with quality.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
I wonder what she's doing tonight. Buzz, name it and claim it. Who's the artist?
Voice and Heart.
Yeah. That's a winner. And out here once again is Buzz Gridley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Finally, there was nothing new about what Don Scordato had been arrested for. He'd been arrested for public lewdness again.
Oh, dear.
He was convicted in 97 after pleasuring himself in a public place. Now he's been arrested again.
Hold on, that's wrong?
Nothing new, yes.
Yeah, right. I'm pulling your way!
Wait a minute. Yeah, here in the United States.
Yeah, legally, you know. But Donald can be creative. At first, he told the officers he has dry skin and has to scratch a lot. He says that's what they really saw him doing. Now that he's appeared in court, he's come up with an even more creative defense. Quoting Donald, not possible. I don't have a penis. Prosecutors say they think he's lying. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, hold on. There's one way to find out.
But yeah, hold on. Just one second.
That's like being on a cul-de-sac. As this trial progresses and we find out, I will let you know whether or not Don has a penis.
But how come? And again, just to be absolutely clear, you're not speaking about me.
No, Don Scordato.
Yes. If the question of the man having a penis or not was a mitigating factor, wouldn't a representative
like
of the
police,
court?
Police officer. Somebody's going to have to look.
How tough is it?
It's a strip search. And you don't even have to touch anybody. You just say strip and look. That's another day. Another hearing. I'll let you know.
No, I
want to
know now.
I know. Are you making this stuff up?
No.
This is not one of the days you just wrote this on your own?
No.
Okay.
I think it's fixed.
Well, when will you have the information about if the man has a penis or not?
Hopefully tomorrow. I'll keep an eye on the case.
We'll make a few phone calls.
Okay. Thank God.
Thank God.
We gotta go. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Oh, speaking of no penises, Jay Severin is coming up next. Here on Unic 106.7.
Enjoy the show!
We, of course, we're the Forgotten Men. That's the new name of our show.
The Forgotten Men.
The Forgotten Men. Mm-hmm. We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you,
Good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
God damn, I tell you what, it's not as easy to be miserable all the time.
It really isn't.
Really, we got it down to an art form, though, don't we?
Yes, practice. We're forgotten.
Bye-bye.
Until we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.